Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. saves the turtle. Always working to save the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeehaw! So, forbidden cancer cures. I'm not even going to use a question mark this time because I'm pretty confident that it's pretty factual. So, with that said, forbidden cancer cures. Your doctor wants to kill you slowly. It's profitable. He's going to make more money the longer you suffer. Just put that in your mind. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, too. Ha! Anyway, I'm probably going to get kicked off a line today. I've been joined by Barbara Threeco, where we have this rebel mentality that seems to get us in trouble now and then. But that's all right. We have fun doing it. How about that, Barbara? You there? She got her microphone muted.
I'm here. I was waiting to listen to that podcast.
All right, well, I'm getting ready to play a podcast.
I'm here. I've been popping some really, I think, really significant links into the chat here on peopleforpeople.ning.com. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Let's go.
That's right. I need to finish out. If you want to join in on the chat, we might get a little rowdy today, so jump over and have some fun with us, okay? Jump over there to superchat.html, and if you scroll down on the Super Chat, because there's four separate chat rooms on there, but if you scroll down on the Super Chat, click on the People for People Radio link, and go over there and talk to those nice folks as well. Also, don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio. So, with that said, I'm going to play a podcast because there's something really interesting that's going on here with holistic doctors, kind of having trouble surviving these days, and the fact that,
literally having trouble surviving.
Yeah, they're
not having, just financially.
They're having some, yeah, that's it. That's the point. They're having some real serious health issues and,
they're suiciding themselves while they jump off cliffs. They're shooting themselves in the head.
I mean, that's pretty talented that somebody could actually do that. But nonetheless, let's give the devil his due, so to speak, I guess. Sort of. Anyway, I don't know. But I got to point this out because this is really serious stuff, you know. I mean, sure, I can be a little bit lighthearted about it because it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm seeing something that makes me so doggone angry. I did a show just yesterday about being angry. Mad science, you know. It's because of the way that the mainstream scientists. And I want to point something else out before I get started as well. Is that they say they need the scientist on board. We got to get the scientist on board. No, you don't got to get the scientist on board because they sold herself out in the alternative energy. They sold herself out in the medical industry and many more. So with that said, you don't need the mainstream scientist. What you need is a good, healthy dose of real research. Get out there and test and retest and find out. There's a lot of natural cures out there that a lot of them blew my doors off whenever I first heard about them, but I didn't even know some of them even existed until I started doing some serious research into this thing here, which, I'll get into that later, but that really makes me angry because I've lost a lot of family members due to cancer, and had I'd have known that it goes back further than this, but in 1967, there was actually a cure to cancer. That was a proven cure to cancer, and the Texas legislator held that one up. So let's just go into it. I want you to hear. This is a groundbreaking immune therapy cancer treatment that it's called Opdiva. Its other name is Nivolumab. I can't even pronounce it. What? See, that's another thing. They got these crazy names for these drugs. Opdiva, Nivolumab. So, in other words, in short, it's the drug that's going to kill you. So,
if you can't pronounce it, don't take it.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. We got to patent that idea. If you can't pronounce it, don't ingest it. All right, here, listen to this. This is about, about 11, almost 12 minutes, but I want to play the whole thing through because I want you to hear what they say it'll do for you, and then I want you to hear what they say the possible side effects are. Now, how something like this could actually get on the market, whereas something like bacon soda therapy or olive oil therapy and a whole plethora of other potential helpful cures to cancer can't seem to make it on the market. I mean, because the supposed protectors of your health, the health industry and the Food and Drug Administration, they want to they just want to make money. Let's just put it that way. That's flat out, straight in your face. That's the fact. They want to make money. It hasn't got nothing to do with curing you. So they want you to die slowly. Slow. And miserable. All right, let's just go. I got to stop being a jerk, I guess.
Nivolumab is a program death receptor 1 blocking antibody. Its brand name is Opdivo. In this presentation, we will refer to it using the brand name. It is an immunomodulator, which is a chemical agent that modifies the immune response or the functioning of the immune system. It was approved in 2014 for advanced stages of lung, kidney, bladder, and melanoma cancers. Also, in more recent years, it has been approved to treat classical Hodgkin's lymphoma in those who have relapsed following stem cell transplantation. Although approved for all the aforementioned conditions, it is mainly reserved for unresectable, which is those that can't be removed by surgery, or metastatic melanomas that no longer respond to other drug therapies. Opdivo should be avoided in pregnancy, especially in the second and third trimesters, where studies have seen an increased risk of harm to the fetus.
Okay, so we already got into a side effect, and this particular drug is only to be used for inoperable cancers. We've already got into one side effect. That was surprising, because I thought it'd be like at the end after they beef it up. Yeah, this is going to save your life, man. You just take this stuff right here. You can always trust your doctor. All right, well, that's right there. If you're getting ready to get pregnant, or you think you could potentially get pregnant, don't take that. Your kid's going to be born with seven eyes or some kind of weird stuff. Let's keep going here.
To stop cancers from forming or metastasizing, the immune system needs to be able to differentiate between normal and foreign cells. To do this, our immune system uses checkpoints. In cancer, we typically see the cancer cells avoiding these checkpoints. This allows the cancer cells to continue to multiply with no immune system to keep them in check. Part of the immune system is T cells. T cells is a T lymphocyte that plays a large role in cell-mediated immunity. These T cells interact with antigen-presenting cells located on a tumor or cancer cells. During this interaction, there is a binding between programmed death 1, other known as PD-1, which are present on T cells. It also binds to its ligand PD-L1, which are present on antigen-presenting cells and tumor cells. This is one of the immune checkpoints. Cancer cells can increase these number of programmed death 1 proteins, allowing them to avoid an immune system attack. Monoclonal antibodies that disrupt the PD-1 PD-L1 interaction serve as inhibitors of this immune checkpoint and have demonstrated favorable activity by boosting the immune system against cancer cells.
Alright, gotta remember what this lady just said about it's gonna attack the cancer cells. Keep that in mind, alright, until we get down to the side effect range. It's very important you pay attention here. Attention to detail, students.
Opdivo is a human immunoglobulin G4 monoclonal antibody that binds to the PD-1 receptor and blocks its interaction with PD-L1 and PD-L2, which stimulates the immune response to fight cancer. The PD-1 receptor-mediated T-cell inactivation is disrupted, which leads to normal T-cell activation and function. When PD-L1 binds with PD-1, in absence of the antibody, the cancer cells blocks the T-cells, which then blocks the attack on cancer cells. So, Opdivo is good in regards to this. The T-cell won't be blocked and the PD-L1 won't bind to the PD-1. This will then reactivate the T-cells, allowing them to attack cancer cells. Like any other cancer drug, even though it has an effect on the tumor, Opdivo could also affect normal cells.
Hold on a second! Are we up to doggone it? We're still in the midst of telling what this thing can do and work the side effect too. Now it's going to attack normal cells as well as cancer cells? Alright. Let's go.
Opdivo. The letters PDI in the word Opdivo can stand for PD-1 inhibitor to help you remember.
Pause just for a quick note. We haven't even got to the side effects section yet. All right, we're just in the how good this is going to help you out kind of, you know, this is a revolutionary new drug.
So there are two types of drug resistant, innate and acquired resistant. Innate resistant are those that fail to ever respond to the therapy, while acquired resistant are those that initially respond but eventually develop disease progression and no longer respond to the therapy. Mechanism of innate and acquired resistance to immune checkpoint inhibitors are not fully understood, but at this point we all understand that successful anti-tumor immune responses following PD-1 and PD-L1 blockage require activation of antigen-experienced T-cells. So the failure of the therapy can result from insufficient generation of anti-tumor T-cells because lack of sufficient or suitable monoclonal antibody or impaired presentation of monoclonal antibody can all lead to impaired formation of tumor-reactive T-cells. Moreover, insufficient T-cell function can arise from many factors. It could be mutation or high level of PD-L1 on tumor cell and PD-1 on immune cells or high level of immune system suppression. Lastly, impaired formation of T-cell memory could be a reason of the drug resistance.
Uh-oh, we're getting ready for the side effects. It could also be a rubber chicken riding a goat across the Great Plains of New Mexico as well. That could be the cause of cancer. So let's go into the side effects now. We just got to hear the goodies. Now let's hear the baddies. Possible side effects.
Some of the common side effects of Opdivo are fatigue or lack of energy, pain in the muscles, bones, and joints, decreased appetite, upset stomach, cough, constipation, dyspnea, which is difficult or labored breathing, diarrhea, and rash. Some of the rare or serious side effects include immune mediation of the lungs, which is inflammation of the lungs, and these symptoms may include new or worsening cough, chest pain, and shortness of breath. Immune mediation of the colon, which could lead to holes or tears in the intestine. Symptoms include loose stools or more bowel movements than usual and severe stomach pain or tenderness. Immune mediation of the liver, which is inflammation of the liver, or in other words, hepatitis. Some signs and symptoms to look out for are yellowing of the skin or whites of the eyes, nausea or vomiting, and dark urine. Immune mediation of the kidney could lead to nephritis and even kidney failure. The signs of kidney problems include a decreased amount in the urine or blood in the urine and as well as a loss of appetite. Immune mediation of the thyroid is a sign for hormone gland problems. The signs and symptoms that lets you know if your hormone glands are not working properly are extreme tiredness,
dizziness, headaches that will not go away, feeling cold, or even hair loss. If any of these serious side effects occur, contact the doctor.
Contact the
these
doctor?
These of immune mediated...
Are you crazy? The doctor's the one that tried to give it to you. Fatigue or lack of energy, muscular skeletal pain, decreased appetite, upset stomach, cough, constipation, I can't even pronounce it, diarrhea, and constipation. So you're
getting and kidney failure.
Yeah, you're getting a twofer, Barbara. And not top of that, you got a rash.
Your skin is falling off your skeleton.
Oh, and I even believe I heard her say your hair could possibly fall out. That's great.
Oh, no, could possibly. Guess what?
Immune mediation of lungs, colon, liver, kidney, and thyroid. And we're not even done with this. Let's move on just a hair farther here, because that if you have these side effects, call your doctor, Barbara. Okay?
It's going to be your fault if you don't call the doctor.
Well, the doctor gave me the drugs, and I feel I got my hairs out. I got diarrhea. I'm halfway constipated on the left colon. And
you know, it's not funny.
No, but
it's so absurd that it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I would try anything but that. Okay, let's go. Come on, this is... I'm sorry, we're probably going to get booted off of here. But it's got to be said. This is ridiculousness.
...adverse reactions may require the treatment of corticosteroids, which this could lead to withholding or discontinuation of Opdivo. Based on the mechanism of action... This medication can cause fetal harm when given to pregnant women, so it would be best to not give this medication to this population.
As mentioned before, based on its mechanism of action and data from animal studies, Opdivo should not be given to pregnant women due to fetal damage. Opdivo crosses the blood-brain barrier and causes great...
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying, and she said potential discontinuation. I ain't taking it to begin with, so there ain't gonna be no discontinuation. That's it. Alright, let's finish this out here.
Fetal damage in the second and third trimester. Women who have a high risk of potential pregnancy should use a highly effective birth control for at least 5 months after stopping Opdivo.
Well, wait, it's though, there's side effects to birth control.
No, we can
read that list, too.
Yeah, what he's saying...
That causes cancer.
What he's saying is even after you stop taking it, for at least 5 months after you stop taking it, you need to take birth control so your child ain't born with seven eyes. It's like...
Oh, my God.
Who in their right mind, after hearing any of this, would even remotely say, yeah, well, I'd like to live, so I'm going to try, you know?
Well, we'll talk about who in their right mind. We'll get to that after we finish here.
All right, make a sticky note of that so we don't forget it.
Okay.
I don't know whether Opdivo is present in breast milk, but because many drugs, including antibiotics, are present in human milk, and because of potential for serious adverse reaction in nursing infants from Opdivo, women should be advised to discontinue breastfeeding during treatment with Opdivo.
This guy can't even
Opdivo
read.
Comes in one dosage form, which is IV, with the strengths available, 40 milligrams in 4 milliliters and 100 milligrams in 10 milliliters, which are the same concentration, but different volume solutions in a single-use vial. Opdivo volume distribution is 6.8 liters. With a half-life of 25 days, Opdivo reaches a steady-state concentration at 12 weeks when given 3 milligrams per kilogram every 2 weeks.
Kilogram.
Because the half-life is so long for
Opdivo.
This is why it's so important for women to continue to take birth control for at least 5 months after stopping Opdivo. With the drug lasting so long in the body, you would think that there would be a need for dose adjustment. but there are no dose adjustments recommended in patients with renal impairment, and there are no dose adjustments recommended for patients with mild hepatic impairment. But Opdivo has not been studied in patients with moderate or severe hepatic impairment. There is also no information on overdosage with Opdivo or known metabolism or transport effects. Even though there are no dose adjustments for liver or kidney damage, monitoring parameters such as hepatic and renal function tests are a must. Given as a 60-minute intravenous infusion on one day every 2 to 3 weeks using a sterile, non-pyrogenic, low-protein binding inline filter. No other drug should use the same IV line as Opdivo.
All right, that's it. I've heard enough, man. I'll tell you what, you get cancer, just go down to your local crack dealer, man, because, my God. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
Just go down to your local crack dealer.
Yeah. I mean, dude.
You know, it's kind of mean. I'm sitting here listening to these people talking like this. This is ordinary. This is common. Yeah, this is what's going to happen. Your skin's going to fall off. Your eyeballs are going to, you know, burn in your head and eventually fall off, you know.
Yeah.
Your kidneys are going to fail. You're going to need a kidney transplant. You know, your mind is going to be eaten incrementally over the months that you're taking this, you know, and you're becoming what, I mean, it's just like, and they're just talking like, yeah, we were to say, I had a ham and cheese sandwich the other day, and boy, it was really delicious, and you should try one too on rye bread or something.
Yeah, at least if you know you're going to become a crack junkie, you already know you're going to lose your teeth and look like heck, you know, but, you know, that's it. I mean, this is ridiculous, man. You know, hey.
It's kind of scary, I have to say. I mean, I know we're making we're laughing a lot, but it's not a fun. This is a horror story. I'm sorry. This is a that the fact that there are people in the world, so-called scientists or whatever they're called, to put this stuff out to determine. Let's come up with a new drug because we need more money. We got 2,000 drugs on the market now, and they're killing people. Let's see if we can push another one on them.
Well,
up with a new treatment, a brand new treatment that cures cancer. Hoo-hoo.
What we need to do is find out how many people actually died of, olive oil or baking soda therapy or any of the natural...
Or SDAC, the natural herbs, or cannabis, or, you know, we could go on and on, you know, hydrotherapy, oxygenative therapy. I mean, it's just, this is beyond, because this is pushing people. If you're, you know what, you're lucky. You are lucky if you survive cancer therapy.
That's an understatement, not to mention the bill itself is going to kill you. So, if you don't die of a heart attack when you get the bill, all these other symptoms right here, you know, probably make you wish you did.
American Cancer Society should be ashamed of themselves because you know what? Cancer is not a disease. It's a business.
Yeah, it is. And that business seems to be the disease these days.
And you know what? Here's the other thing. I popped something into... I have so many links on this, but... I have a link here that side effects of targeted cancer therapy drugs, which is even more succinct than what we were listening to, if you can imagine. But you know, here you have, we're talking about, you're basically spending a day in the Western world is like spending a day running a gauntlet of toxins and carcinogens.
Boy, that's the truth. Say that one more time because that was like, That was profound.
Basically, spending a day in the Western world is like spending a day running a gauntlet of toxins and carcinogens.
Yeah, if you think she's joking, go down to the snack section and read the ingredients.
stand out in a field, you know, where agribusiness fields. Stand next to it for a day.
And it says right there on the labels of some of these pesticides that they use out there that it's got all kinds of harmful side effects. Don't get it on your skin. Don't get it in your eyes. Don't get it in your lungs. But put it on your salad.
Well, spray it on your lawn.
Yeah. What are your cats going to be out there licking on the grass or whatever, you know?
And your baby's out there on the ground on the lawn.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, so it's true, if you're spending any time... And I just want to add that it's not just in the Western world. If you're spending any time on the earth, unfortunately, it's like spending a day running a gauntlet of toxins and carcinogens, because they're killing us that way.
Yeah, there's a song a long time ago that comes to mind, Killing Me Softly, but it ain't with the doggone...
Yeah, Killing Me Softly
is right.
It ain't
with the song, it's with the doctor's recommendation. Oh, look, we can't operate on your tumor, but we sure can make you miserable as heck for a while we, try to cure it with this drug here that might give you diarrhea and a rash.
It's shameful.
It's disgusting.
It's shameful. It's downright murderous. Shameful. American Cancer Society. Huge, huge, huge business. Billions of dollars. More studies. Give me money. More studies. I'll come up with a drug. I'll come up with another drug.
You mentioned earlier oxygen therapy, and that's one close to my heart because I did a lot of research on it to try to help out my father-in-law, who's in a jam with some health conditions he's got. And the cures the things that they've been doing with oxygen therapy is mind-blowing. I mean, it's just, viruses can't live in a highly oxygenated environment, and cancer cells can't live in a highly oxygenated environment. Just like cancer cells can't live in a highly alkaline body, they can live in a highly acidic body. So if you got an acidic body, then all these things can thrive. And so with that said, that's the basics of it, and just about every single alternative medicine addresses that exact thing so that it helps your body to build up the immune system and gives you a chance to heal. But these guys, if they're not wanting to hack a piece of a chunk of your flesh or guts out of it, they're going to try to use radiation to kill you, and if that doesn't do it, then they're going to try to use these, what was the words I used earlier, because it said on there, it was a revolutionary drug or something like
revolutionary.
That.
Revolutionary. Well, that's key for people to just say, oh, good, it's revolutionary. There's, I'm going to read this article here, because the language that they use, okay, is specific. So, basically, specific meaning that they're not using language that should scare the crap out of you. Of course not, because they want to sell this drug. They want to make this drug, even though they're telling you the side effects. When you read what they're saying about the side effects, the way they write it, well, it doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, and this is rare, you know. It doesn't happen
it's
all
rare,
the
it's
time.
Possible, rare, only in certain patients, not all patients. So then you say, well, maybe it won't happen to me then. It's going to happen to the other guys over there, not to me.
And if your hair falls out, we'll give you a wig. It's
we
all
have
right.
a wig.
Yeah.
We have cool wigs.
We can sew your face back on.
Really? We can give you, they'll probably come up with another with your eyes, balls fall out. Guess what? We have a new therapy. I need to
get me some of them googly eyed glasses and make me I got a cancer cure from the doctor. Yeah, he healed me up, looked at my eyeballs, he's like, I can touch the floor with them.
my skin fell off, but what the heck.
Yeah.
It's dragging behind me on the ground, but I'm okay.
There's this guy I listen to on YouTube all the time. I can't remember his name right off my top of my head, but he cracks me up. He says we're living in mirror world all the time.
Yeah.
It's like up is down, and it's, when I heard these symptoms on there, I'm like, my God, I've pulled up pills. You know, you got this tiny little pill bottle that's supposed to be to treat a condition that you got, and then you pull out this big book of possible side effects. If you see any of these, or that, or even that, or look out for this, because this might happen if you got that, and don't get pregnant, don't eat or drink or sleep or anything like that.
Oh, you know, they've got the treatment, but they also give you the support. You know, the support that they're going to give. American Cancer Society has plenty of support while you're going through this nightmare they've been, you know.
Yeah. You don't look so bad with your hair out. It's just, you're still beautiful. You're human. You're a beautiful person. You're bald-headed.
Well, you know what? You start to have the irony of this is when you start to have these side effects. They emphasize over and over again, tell your doctor, because the doctor then will give you some other kind of treatment, you know, about those side effects, to take those side effects away, but then there's side effects of the treatment they're giving you about the side effects, so.
And I also also wondered why it is that every single time that you go to an elderly couple's house, they got a big giant tray of all different medicines on there. This is for this,
hey,
and this is for that.
Let me tell you something. It's not just the elderly people, my dear. It's children now. You have children, of course, the big wave, the new wave is the new diagnosis, you know, that appeared miraculously, just an appearance suddenly, I don't know, 15 years ago, ADD and ADHD. You know, so children are being diagnosed with this false illness, really, because it is false, and the doctor who put this whole thing out actually finally came out and said that he created the whole thing, whatever, but now you have these children on drugs who have side effects, and there they have another drug to take care of that side effect, and another one to take care of that side effect, up to 7 and 8 little bottles, little sweet little bottles on their kitchen counter that they have to take every day.
You know, and I know it ain't funny, but I asked my father-in-law one time, I said, do you rattle like a Morocco when you walk? I mean, because this is like, he takes I can't even tell you how many pills per day. This is to counteract that, which to counteract that.
You know
what,
like I said earlier, if you can't pronounce it, don't ingest it, because here's the thing, use your common sense. What do you think this strange, named, chemical drug, whatever it is, supposed therapy, by the way, therapy, it's called side effects of targeted cancer therapy drugs. I mean, if you can't pronounce it, can you imagine that if you can't pronounce something, what that is that you're putting into your body, where's your common sense? Will you go out and take a big slug of your motor oil that you're putting in your car?
Well, I wouldn't.
I'm just saying. But listen, let's go to the who in their right mind would take these, right?
All right.
Because it's not, the people aren't in their right minds, number one. They're scared. They're scared, you know, bloop bloops, bloopted, or scared bloopted, and I'm not going to say the word, because, well, they were, you know, I don't know, because maybe they were putting Roundup on their lawn, or that guy who just did a big lawsuit against Monsanto for his spraying that Gardasil crap from Roundup on some lawn he was taking care of, or wherever he was. It doesn't matter. He just won a big lawsuit. The man is dying. His skin is falling off, by the way. I saw pictures of this poor man. He won the lawsuit. Well, big deal. Do you think that that we're going to see, Monsanto disappear? I don't think so. But here, they're not in their right mind because they're scared. They're terrified because they've been diagnosed with cancer. There's like, they're throwing everything at us under the sun here, out in the environment, in the food, in the water, everything that causes cancer. And yeah, people are getting cancer. Babies are getting cancer. Babies are born with tumors today that you've never ever seen that kind of thing. But these people aren't in their right mind. And who do they turn to? They turn to the authorities because they've been trained to turn to the authorities, to believe in the authorities.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that's why these people, these poor, unfortunate people, they're not in their right minds, you know, and they're not getting therapy, healing therapy or whatever. They're getting just these drugs that have side effects that can kill you. It's the luck of the draw if you don't die. But guess what? If you have radiation as one of those treatments that they rate, radiation. Now, aren't there, like, warnings about radiation?
Well, yeah, they've been doing that forever. Then, you know, jump underneath your school desk and cover your head up like that's going to protect you from an atomic attack or whatever. It's like, you know, as mentioned earlier, that if the disease itself don't kill you, the bill will. And there's a big deal in there because, you know, governments like programs like Medicaid and Medicare, all that kind of stuff, will cover certain types of medicines. They won't cover any alternative medicines, I'm sure, but they will cover these types of drugs that we just mentioned right here. And some of the prices on these are so incredible that it would blow your
mind.
Well,
again, they've got everything taken care of. You've got everything, everything right across the board is taken care of to make a lot of money off of you, you poor unfortunate person.
Well, yeah, I
got to
point something out with that, because here's the thing, folks. You think the medical industry is the only one making money off of this? Think about the Medicare is going to have to get their reimbursement side of it, because, you know, they obviously got to be able to pay for everybody's health care and all that kind of stuff. So they're going to get a fat chunk of that too, and then they're going to turn around and send somebody back to the same. They call the alternative medicines quacks, but I say this is mirror world, and it's all reversed. And you know, the quacks are the ones that you're going to the doctor to see. The doctor is the quack, and he's telling you, take this drug, it'll help possibly cure this, what you've got here, but you got to look out for all these possible side effects. Well, when those side effects occur, then you got to go back to the doctor again and get yet even more drugs, and then more drugs, and then everybody, there's so much money being handed hand over fist, back and forth through the medical industry, to the governments, to the corporations and all that. And this is why these folks will fight so hard to keep any alternative medicines off of the store shelves.
Well, this is why they're killing naturopaths.
Yeah. And there's a long list of them, too.
On this American Cancer Society link that I'm looking at, they have on the top here, cancer from A to Z. Stay healthy, treatment and support, our research, get involved, and our partners, and about us, okay? Now, I'm looking at this, yeah, stay healthy. How can one stay healthy with the industries, the corporations pushing poison on us everywhere we're involved in? We turn around, there's, you know, chemicals in your food, poison in the air, in the water. It's just, how can you stay healthy? It's a big joke.
Yeah, it's this is mind blowing. That deal that you said about running the gauntlet of toxins is, that's the best I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it's the truth. It's flat out the truth. Because if you can get through one day without being exposed to some trash, it's a miracle.
Well, unfortunately, you have, you know, people are not educated, you know, so about this. This is why we're talking about the absurdity of this treatment, the so-called treatment, you know, this, that the big business, American Cancer Society, one of the big businesses, you have the pharmaceutical, you have the American Cancer Society, you have the corporate, you know, monsters pushing his poisons on us for money. It's all across the board. You know, so you have the people who are not educated, you know, because everything, you will not find information on alternatives in the mainstream media. And certainly the American Cancer Society, I think, and then maybe I'll find it later, I don't know, they're now saying about cannabis, for instance. They're talking about cannabis because they're getting prepared for the pharmaceuticals are already usurping, you know, cannabis, because they know that people are not going to sit down anymore for the crap they're giving us. So now they're going to take the cannabis, the natural plant, and they've already started doing it. And, you know, it's not going to be natural. It's going to have chemical properties in it or whatever, which is not going to be healthy.
Well,
and
with that said, we slapped a bee's nest because Barry's ringing the doorbell. He wants in.
So, oh, okay.
He's like, oh, you better let me in there.
Well, come on down.
We're gonna throw Barry in the call. But I'm telling you what, folks, this is, you know, I said we slapped a bee's nest. We did slap a bee's nest because the medical industry, if you go back and you look at every single one the people out there of alternative medicines that claimed a cure and actually had testimonials from the people that they were curing that were documented, and even in the medical industry that were documented, the things well, that happened to those people would blow your doors off.
Well, you can get arrested, and people have gotten arrested for taking care of their own health.
Yeah,
for choosing an alternative therapy. You will be, you know, basically noted as a quack. And also you can get arrested if you want to take your child out of the system. Well, forget it. You can't get out of the system. Once you step into the American Cancer Society system, they have you locked down.
Yeah, and the people who were administering these alternative cures, even though they weren't doing no harm, they were all natural remedies and stuff like that, they got arrested multiple times, and some of them got suicided.
Well, people have been leaving the country for many, many years, going to Germany and going to Mexico and various other places to use these alternative therapies successfully. And these people basically, you know, are outlaws, you know. They're like this couple. I talked about this before because we were on this subject again. I talked about this couple, I think, I'm not sure if they were Amish or Mormons, but their daughter had been diagnosed. She was having terrible problems. They took her to the medical system, and of course, once they stepped into that, now they were locked in, and their daughter was diagnosed with a brain tumor, cancer, and I don't know, some strange one, I guess. Now they're talking about these cancers that are appearing are new cancers, new types of cancers, and shocking new types of cancers and so on. But once they locked their daughter in, they of course started the treatments of chemotherapy and radiation and all kinds of other things, side effect stuff, because that's what happens. So the poor girl was dying of that treatment, and their parents realized it. And they wanted to take her to an alternative clinic that they had heard about. They felt this was their last hope to save their child. And the medical professionals, the authorities said, you can't do that. And basically they called the Child Protective Services. And they took the child away from their parents to continue this chemo, so they could continue the chemotherapy. Well, the parents had to wind up kidnapping their own daughter, taking her out of the country. I'm not sure whether they went to Mexico or Germany, which doesn't matter right now. But basically, so the parents now are on a wanted list, okay, for kidnapping. The authorities got all pissed off, angry, because they took charge of their own child. And you're not allowed to do that because you are in the system. The system owns your child. And so the baby, that girl, came back healed of the brain tumor. Healed of the brain tumor. I'll say it again. Healed of the brain tumor. And I didn't follow through with it. I don't know what happened, but it created a problem, of course, with the authorities, because now this girl is healed, and now their arrest warrant and all that stuff now is up in the air. Everything's gone kablooey because now the authorities don't know what to do.
Oops.
Yeah. That's what more people.
Hey, Barry.
Good morning, Barbara. Good morning, Phil.
Barry's got a lot to say about
this. Well,
we're on a hot subject here today, right?
Yeah, you're talking one that really rips my heart apart, Barbara, and it rips your heart apart, and it rips Shiz's heart apart. If it doesn't, then you don't have a heart. Because
right.
We see this going on in our society, and really the biggest struggle I think we have as a society right now is to get over the indoctrination that people are fed from the moment they're born that your doctor is God. And, I grew up as a child. I remember how much I worshipped my doctor, that he was the man, that no matter what happened in life, I had him.
You just sit there and you listen to them, and you're not allowed, don't ask a question. I was
terrified.
people are really, really starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, a doctor is absolutely defying and turning his hypocritical oath upside down. His oath is to provide the best possible care for his patient, regardless. Yet they're mandated when they come out of medical school to have a little book that has every human disorder and what prescription drug they're going to prescribe to treat the disorder. Until society can actually look at this and go, hey, wait a second, you know, our medical system is not working at all. And really, it only takes a couple hours of research on the computer one night to come up with that conclusion. I tell people all the time, Barbara, you got to go look at the World Health Organization statistics for the United States and Canada in 1968. Our incidences of diseases, we were, and I've said this many times on many of my shows, and it's a fact that in 1968 we were the healthiest nations in the world.
That's right.
Right. And now we here at 2017, if you go to the same website and look at the numbers, we are beyond a shadow of a doubt the sickest two nations in the world today, and yet Canada and the United States spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest country in the world today. So you roll that around in your brain, folks, and think about that for a second. Who is winning in our healthcare system? And you don't have to have a brain of a rocket scientist to figure it out.
Not to mention that we're always seeing these doggone little donation deals everywhere we go, and I put money in them all the time. Cure cancer, you know, help find a cure for cancer. All these places where you can donate this money when there's people documented all the way back to the 30s that were killing cancer, and all the way up to the present day that we're killing cancer.
And one really has to study the history of it. Go back to when this really started. So, you know, when the cowpox vaccine arrived on the scene in 1908.
It may sound hateful, but I'm never putting another penny into another one.
I'm not doing it. It's a joke. I'm sorry. People think they're doing good. They believe the system. They believe the authorities, you know.
Like him or hate him, I love what Trump said about vaccines, the fact that he's never had a flu shot in his life. He made some very damning statements. Whether he's following it up right now, that would be remain to be seen. But he did, whether you like him or not, make some unbelievable damning statements about the whole flu vaccine scam. So that brought a lot of attention to what's going on.
Well, here's the thing. People don't realize the whole pharmaceutical business. A doctor sits in his office and sees patients all day. A person who comes in, the salesperson for the pharmaceutical company, comes in, opens up their suitcase with tons of pharmaceuticals, and says to the nurse who takes this information, basically, here's the new drug that we've just come out with, a new treatment, blah, blah, blah. So she says, okay, just put everything out and I'll write you a receipt. Now, then she puts it on the shelf, and the doctor comes out, and he's got new patients. He's looking at this. Oh, let me see. Okay, here's a new treatment. Let me take this treatment. I'm going to give it to my patients. They do not sit down, go on the computer, look up side effects. Mm-hmm. They don't do that. There's no side effects written on these drugs. You can look it up if you want, but the doctor doesn't look it up. He's too busy. He's too busy to say there's side effects. Or, let me check. Because it takes research to do this. He's too busy. The nurse is busy. They're not going to do this. They're trusting the pharmaceutical companies to give them what is necessary to whatever.
Well, look, I almost gave the doctors a pass, all right, because of the fact that they're too busy and they're underneath the red tape and all that kind of stuff. But as I sit down and I think about the Hippocratic Oath that they take to do no harm and to try to do the best that they can for their patient and such, I hold fault with the doctors as well, because they could get on the internet just like you and I, and they could do some research to see.
No, they're vacationing. Their time is used for vacation. They're too busy on the other side, so they got to take their vacations. But I watched this documentary. I don't know if either of you saw it a while back. I wish I had saved it. This pediatrician was talking to on this video, and he exposed the vaccine horrors, and he basically got awakened to the fact that he was really killing the babies not literally, but to some degree, yes, or causing terrible things with these babies by vaccinating them. The system of vaccinations nowadays, I don't know how many of these little babies get, slamming them with these amounts of vaccinations of various things. It started to shift, and they added more and more and more, and there you can go on and find that too. When did the vaccination start and how is the system set up today? You can see incrementally each period of time that they increase the amount of vaccinations that a baby must have now, but throw this stuff into their system. And he was actually crying. He talked about the Hippocratic Oath. He talked about his ignorance and his inability to really understand this until he finally, you know, started to get some triggers about this and do research. And he was appalled. He was beside himself, apologizing to the people about what he was involved in with the medical system and how he had no idea what he was actually doing. He was crying, this doctor.
Well, I would think that more doctors out there, it's kind of like this, you know, if only you got a certain amount of doctors in this world and they're not all greedy, you know, trying to get money from the drug industry kind of people, if they're really seriously, honestly into wanting to cure and heal their patients, then you would think more of them would stand up on, if I was a doctor and I seen that these other things were had all these possible side effects, I would want to look for any other resolution and make that a last ditch effort. Yeah, that would be my Hail Mary. If I couldn't find a natural cure for it and this is a possible one, that would be the last thing I'd go for. I'd first tell them about, you know, their diet and all that kind of stuff, and I'd say, you know, let's take this slowly because we don't want to make you sicker than you are trying to make you better. You know, I would be an honest doctor about the deal. But in the system the way it is right now, an honest doctor is up against the administration. They got people who are investors in their hospital and such. And so they got a board that has to, you got to go by their rules, otherwise you get fired. But if more doctors was to come together and form their own union or group or whatever and say, look, we're not going to do this to these people. We're going to, you can fire us all. But you
can't
won't have
do that.
No doctors.
You can't do that because that's against the system.
Yeah.
The whole system. Whole system that we are under has its agenda. Okay? Everything that we are under, not just the medical system, not just the education system. It's all systems that rule us, that basically control us, and those doctors are included.
Yeah. Well,
now, did you know that it's not only standard chemo drugs, they have targeted cancer therapy drugs now. Did you know this difference is here?
Yeah, there's other ones out there, but there's also been people in the alternative, like, you know, they called him a quack. Raymond Rife said, you know, he could target specific, you know, certain bacterias and stuff like that by, you
well,
know.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying with this side effects of targeted cancer therapy drugs, it says, although targeted therapy drugs don't affect you the same way that standard chemo drugs do, they can still cause side effects. There are many different types of targeted drugs, and the side effects from those drugs depend largely on what each drug targets.
Well, like that one something that was in that podcast we played said that it targets cancer cells, but it also said it had the potential to target good cells too.
Now, here's something for you. Here's the way I was saying how they systematically write things so that not only will it confuse you, but you don't dare ask questions, but you also kind of think, well, it won't happen to me then, because here it says, not every person gets every side effect, and some people get few, if any.
Yeah,
okay,
and
so,
some
so
of the
you
deadly
kind of
ones
think,
are rare.
You kind of think, well, then I'm not going to be in that percentage, right? You know, if you've got cancer, you think, well, because that's what people want. They have to find something that will push them to use these targeted drugs, right? So it says the severity of side effects can vary greatly from drug to drug and from person to person. So be sure to talk to your cancer care team about which side effects are most common with your treatment, how long they might last, how bad they might be, and when you should call the doctor's office about them. Your doctor may give you instructions to follow or medicines to medicine, right?
Well, listen,
to help
my
doctor, side effects before they happen.
If
so,
my doctor's the one that gave me the drug, I would not go back to that doctor.
But you see how they're talking to people here? You're basically, if you step into the system, you are responsible for paying attention to the side effects, and you must call your doctor. He'll give you another, quote, medicine, or you mean drug, don't you?
Yeah.
With more side effects.
Now, I got a red flag for you. When you go to the doctor, next time you go to the doctor, when they give you this paperwork to sign, before you go signing it, like 99.9% of all people do, they just sign away their deal. Before you sign any papers at the doctor, read it very carefully. It will exclude the doctor from any kind of backlash.
Responsibility.
In case something goes awry. You know? And
well,
that'll be a red flag.
Here's, I'm going to continue with this. Pay attention to the language. Rare and unusual side effects can happen with some of these drugs, and some can be serious. Report all changes and side effects as soon as possible to your cancer care team. In other words, if you don't, you're to blame. Although side effects can be unpleasant, the less serious ones must be measured against the need to fight the cancer, all right?
If you
start having side effects, and you go to your doctor, and he gives you more drugs, and you start having side effects from that, so some of these, they can be unpleasant. Well, you read the list, or we heard the list of the side effects. Unpleasant?
Yeah, well, to me, if it's...
Excuse me... It's your hair is falling out, your eyeballs are falling out, your skin is burning, you can't walk.
Yeah.
I mean,
your heart's still beating, your heart's still beating.
Well, to me...
your kidneys are failing, that's unpleasant.
To me, diarrhea...
I mean, really, unpleasant? These people have nerve.
Yeah.
The American Cancer Society to write those words, although side effects can be unpleasant. Serious ones. What are the less serious
ones?
Well,
hold on a second. To me, diarrhea. Diarrhea is
a serious. Have you found any less serious side effects?
I don't want no diarrhea.
Oh, sanity.
I mean, come on.
People buy this crap.
Yeah.
What the heck is going on? They've got so many chemicals in our brains now that we cannot think straight.
Wait, there's more.
I don't know how else to explain it.
I got more. How long do side effects last? Most side effects go away over time after treatment ends and the healthy cells recover. But the time they don't use the word but. The time it takes to get over some side effects varies from person to person. It depends on many factors, including your overall health and the drugs you were given, you know?
Yeah, and it also said that you had to take birth control pills for 5 months after you stopped taking it. So is
now,
the diarrhea going to last
here's
that
a red
long,
flag.
Too?
Here's a red flag. Because many targeted drugs are still quite new, pay attention to that sentence. It's hard to say how long you can expect side effects to last.
Let me see. Let me figure that out. We all have different bodies, don't we, huh?
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, the test we did on those new drugs, we did a 3-week test. Everything's fine, guys.
Yeah.
But wait.
They do know that some of the side effects from standard chemo drugs can last a lifetime, such as when the drug causes long-term damage to the heart, lungs, kidneys, or reproductive organs. In many cases, we still don't know if targeted therapy drugs cause these kinds of long-term changes.
So I'm bald-headed.
What's the difference?
I'm bald-headed.
Let's go slowly.
I'm bald-headed. I got diarrhea for 5 months. And I want to right now. I just want to rush out and go to the doctor and say, yeah, give me some of that. Really?
No, but wait.
Hey, wait, you lost 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Wait, I've got more skin problems from targeted cancer therapy drugs. Many targeted therapy drugs cause a rash or other skin changes, meaning it falls off. These skin problems usually listen to the language, usually develop slowly over days to weeks. They are not signs of a drug allergy. What are these signs of?
Oh, well, my God.
See here.
We got a comment that we got to address in the chat room. Wow, that just blows my doors off. May in the chat room said, Last Chance offers three-shot series, $15,000 each.
Oh, my gosh.
She said, knew a fellow who reverse mortgaged his house for treatment for got 6 months. Are you kidding
extended
me?
Extended life.
So he gets to live 6 months, loses his house and his life, and it cost him, what's 15 times 3?
$45,000.
Is that... Is there
well,
anybody,
you gotta get them as much as you can when they're going out the door.
Is there anybody besides me who finds that ludicrous?
It's pretty sad.
It's sad.
It's terrific. It's shameful.
It blows me away. It really
is.
I'm trying not to laugh, but it's almost comical how ridiculous this is, and I can't believe that as many people out there who have actually suffered through chemotherapy, and I've witnessed it myself, how in the heck are they not even, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, why aren't they even humoring the alternative medicine people? Because I tell you what, after all the symptoms in that one, just that one drug, and the price tag of what May just shared about Last Chance... I, myself, personally, if I was ever told that I was had to have cancer and the doctor said chemotherapy, I would get up, I wouldn't even say a word to him, I would walk out, and I would go straight to the computer and I'd start researching everything that there was in alternative medicine. And when I got that all accomplished, I would go back to the doctor, I'd slap that information down on his desk, and I said, now that's what real doctrine's about.
Exactly.
I need to continue with this absurdity because we need to listen to the language of they're pushing these alternative drugs.
How to just rope
people in. So, in contrast, allergic reactions to drugs tend to start suddenly, usually within minutes to hours after taking the drug. They may include hives where your skin is welted, and then they often go away in a day or so, and intense itching. An allergic reaction often includes other serious symptoms such as trouble breathing, dizziness, tightness in the throat or chest, or swelling of the lips and or tongue. If you have these symptoms or symptoms, get emergency help and call your doctor right away.
Oh my God, I'm itching like hell, I'm bald-headed, I got diarrhea. But my cancer's gone.
Call the doctor who gave you the drug. Skin problems are common with targeted drugs and can range from mild to severe. They can be debilitating. Yeah, and can affect your quality of life. There are some things you can do to try to prevent them, but you'll need your doctor's help to keep an eye on them and or treat them.
The heck with the doctor. I'd be so frustrated after being bald-headed and itching like hell and having diarrhea, I'd catch him in the alley and give him a dose of it.
Well, you know, if you want to know why... Why do skin changes occur? They're giving you all the information here, but they make it really sound like terrifying you, and then they give an excuse about how, nah, it's not going to happen to you. Skin changes are caused by the way some targeted therapy drugs work. For instance, some targeted drugs attack the epidermal growth factor receptor protein, which tells the cancer cells to grow and divide. These are called EGFR inhibitors, and examples are Cetuximab, Erbitux, I can't pronounce these, Pantitumumab, and Erlotinib. The problem is that normal skin cells also have a lot of EGFR, so drugs that target to block EGFR can affect skin cells too. They turn off the signal for skin cells to grow normally and make it harder for them to retain moisture. You know, so it's like blocking the proteins leads to damage in these tiny blood vessels, which can cause hand-foot syndrome. Hand-foot syndrome means your feet fall off and your hands fall off. That's a hand-foot syndrome. But they're going to describe that later. I'm just saying. This is an interesting link. They talk about dry skin, itching, red sore cuticles, hand-foot syndrome, which let me read what that is. So hand-foot syndrome has been linked to many cancer treatment drugs, including some targeted therapies. The cause of this syndrome isn't known for sure. It may have to do with damage to the tiny blood vessels in the hands and the feet, or with the drugs themselves leaking out of the blood vessels and causing damage. So you have this changes in hair growth, changes in hair or skin color, changes in and around your eyes, distorted eyelids, for instance.
So what you're trying to say is now I'm going to be bald-headed, droopy-eyed, diarrhea, severe rash, itching like heck, and.
But your heart's still beating, Shaziz, so life is good.
Plus,
enjoy it. We're giving you a few more months.
Plus, if I use the medicine that May reported about, it's going to cost me $45,000.
I had a gentleman, barber, that the doctors gave him exactly anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks to live when I went and saw this gentleman. This was 5 years ago. And I got him on cannabis oil immediately. He was able to take high doses right off the bat and sit on his couch and basically not move, because high doses right off the bat will knock you right off your feet. We attacked it viciously with cannabis oil. We attacked it viciously with chaga. And he started drinking 4 to 5 ounces of chaga a day right off the bat, and up to almost half a gram right off the bat. We got him up to a gram a day. After about 5 or 6 days, we had him a gram of oil a day going into his body. That man lived for another 5 years, almost 5 years. And he died here about 4 months ago from pneumonia, okay? But the cancer went into full remission in his body, blew his doctor away. So, you know, Larry was chemoed, I think, 5 or 6 times in his life. So, you know, that kind of treatment to your body eventually will kill you. Even though you restore it, you're rebuilding your immune system, you're doing everything you can, that kind of treatment to any human body will kill him. But the fact that he got almost another 5 years out of his life, I'm glad I was able to share that knowledge with him and add those years to his life. I had a really, really heart-touching situation yesterday,
yeah.
Guys. But Barbara, I'm going to share this story with you guys real quick, okay? I've known these people in town, Ed and Martha, their names. Ed got cancer. He's been chemo. He's been going through the medical regimens for years. He's been operated on twice. He had a tumor removed. Now the tumor's coming back again. This is 4 times it's returned. I was at the farmer's market yesterday, and she came up and she said, you know, we really, really want to sit down and talk with you now. I've been trying to get this information into their heads for years, but now she is desperate because she's going to lose her husband. He is going to die. These tumors continue to return. So I'm going to be able to go over here later on today and share some information and some medicine with them, and hopefully we can do something for
Larry, do they have...
But I'm hearing, you know what, the other thing that really... I'm going to say one more thing. Canadian Cancer Society was down at the farmer's market yesterday. And boy, I'll tell you, when I see these guys, I engage in conversations. And I'm very polite with my approach, but I had some very, very hard conversations with them yesterday.
Barry.
About the whole scam, this whole cancer industry that can be stopped in a heartbeat. If society embraced the cures. Go ahead.
Do they have oxygen therapy centers in Canada?
No, none of that. Don't promote that. It's all medical. It's all pharmaceutical.
Everyone
promoted through the Canadian Cancer Society.
Everyone in the cancer industry have basically told you what they believe that causes cancer. Some say they believe it to be a fungus. But all of them agreed that cancer cells, when your body is highly acidic and oxygen deprived, the blood cells will actually reject the oxygen, and that's why these diseases are able to run rampant. They can't live in a highly oxygenated environment. They can't live in the proper alkaline. I think the alkaline level they said that was the best would be around 7 or something like that. Don't quote
me.
I'm not a doctor, but nonetheless.
Just to emphasize, and then I'm done with this article, after they tell you the other side effects, in addition to what we've already read or talked about, they go on with all the stuff, the diarrhea, or constipation, mouth sores, shortness of breath, cough, feeling tired or fatigue, headache, hair loss, damage to organs, thyroid gland, liver, kidneys, allergic reactions, increased risk of certain infections, and then at the bottom they have second cancers. Now, here's the piece I want to emphasize. Just so you feel better if you've been diagnosed. So the cancer team will watch you closely during treatment and will check you often. Side effects can and should be treated as early as possible. It's important that you tell your cancer team about any changes of how you feel or anything you notice that's new or unusual. Tell them right away so they can treat any problems and try to keep them from getting worse. Now, the last thing, here's the American Cancer Society medical and editorial content team. This is who you're going to be dealing with in the American Cancer Society. Our team is made up of doctors and master's prepared nurses with deep knowledge of cancer care, as well as journalists, editors, and translators with extensive experience in medical writing.
Let me show you guys something here. If you Google up hyperbaric oxygen chambers, there's a lot of different prices on them. The cheapest version, I think, was like $3,000, but there's some sturdier versions that you can get for about $8,900. There's actually one I see right here, because I just randomly threw it on there and put shopping on there. It's one for $6,900. The $45,000 that we mentioned for that one drug could buy, what, three or four of these doggone things? So, what would it hurt for people who, were in the kind of jam where the doctor's telling them, you got to take this kind of medicine or chemotherapy, to at least research this, check into it, and these are ones that you can take home with you. These are ones that you can set up in your house and get inside these things and get oxygen into your bloodstream. This hyperbaric treatment basically doesn't just get the oxygen into your bloodstream. It gets it down into the plasma of your blood, which is the liquid stuff that all your blood cells and stuff swim around in. And that stimulates the stem cells that are necessary for rebuilding things. Plus, it gets the oxygen down into the soft tissues, allowing for cell growth in the soft tissues to heal wounds. They've been healing diabetic ulcers, even certain stages of gangrene, with oxygen therapy. If you could get your friend to Texas, I know for a fact there's doggone treatment facilities that are hyperbaric oxygen. And if that treatment, was utilized, then all these other things would be a moot point, And then with that and the home remedies, stuff like that, there's no reason why they can't cure cancer. There is absolutely, it's inexcusable for people to literally have to suffer through these barbaric treatments when there is proven science available. If the doctors are sitting there saying that your body's oxygen deprived and this is the way we're going to treat it with chemotherapy, that's not your doctor. That's your butcher. You just it just drives me insane.
Here's a story for you. My sister was diagnosed with liver cancer. She's since passed away, but this was quite a few years ago. And I got the Rene Cassis, the original formula from the Rene Cassis, who actually up in Canada there, she got it from the native people, from a native, trying to think of... Anishinaabe, I think, the Anishinaabe people, who she had heard about. She was a nurse, this woman, Rene Cassis. She was a nurse in the medical profession up there in Canada somewhere. She was diagnosed with cancer and pretty much told that they couldn't do anything for her. And she had known about this healing that these Anishinaabe people were doing with people. And she went to them, and they basically healed her cancer. It's only four herbs, okay, that is used originally. And she went to them, cancer was healed. She went back to her hospital there that she worked in, and of course the doctor she worked with was quite shocked and wanted to know what happened, what she did, and so on and so forth. Today this formula is called Essiac, or Essiac-T. it's basically her name, her last name spelled backwards or something like that. Her son, after she did finally pass away, took this from normal causes, I guess, wasn't cancer, took these herbs from the Anishinaabe people as Essiac tea. Now, it's burdock, it's sheep sorrel, it's slippery elm, and Turkish rhubarb root. That's all that it is. I gave that. I prepared this tea for my sister, and I used to make it, prepare it, give it to her in quart jars. And she lived beyond their diagnosis, 10 years beyond. Okay, what she was diagnosed as far as years she had to live, or months, basically, 10 years beyond. Okay. And so there's so many stories like this. So many people have been healed. I'm going to pass this to you guys. You can read this. It's really, you can use these herbs also as support.
Well, throw that link in the chat, and I'll copy it down into the super chat so people can grab onto it.
You can use these herbs, this tea, for immune boosting as well. I mean, it's something that you might want to consider taking occasionally. It's not just if you have cancer. It's something that, you know, works with your immune system, and as a preventative, you might say. You know, as a support to build your immune system. And they give all the directions here on how to make it and so on. And they even have a video here in this. So did you get it?
Yeah, I'm posting it right now.
Got it.
Yeah, and so, and another woman I knew, and I've talked about this before, you know, what we're talking about is the absurdity, the horror, and the outrageousness of the American Cancer Society, and how we are being systematically poisoned by corporations, and how, yeah, it's a gauntlet we're running through just to be, you know, outside these days and so on. And what we're talking about here is are the alternatives, and that they do work, that they are healthy for you, that they don't attack your immune system, and they don't kill your kidneys, or your eyeballs don't fall out, and your skin doesn't fall off. And you don't have these side effects where you have to get more drugs with more side effects. So, and it's a luck of the draw if you survive. So
yeah, they don't interact with each other.
They're right. And we're talking about the natural medicines, you know, what Barry's talking about, what Shaziz is talking about, and I'm talking about. We're talking about natural medicines that were given to us by basically Creator, gave us all the medicines for everything that we would ever need. Now, now we have the poisons are falling on us and in our food and everywhere we turn and running the gauntlet of this, but we have to really, I think, take charge and keep our immune system strong, build our immune systems against these things, because it's just not natural. It's not normal. This is not how it was meant to be here. Where the air's poison, the food's poison, the earth's poison, and where they're just injecting poison into us.
Exactly, you know? Barb. If you take a study of the immune system in the human male in 1960 and compare it to a study done now on the immune efficiency of a person living in 2017, you'll see anywhere, three reports I looked at and studied, anywhere from 30 to 38% depletion in immune system function in the human body. All human disorders are coming from, I won't say all, but 90% of the disorders we see rising in society are coming from immune system dysfunction. Depletion of the immune system, it's under attack. We talk about it all the time. And our food is toxic, our air is toxic. They're injecting chemicals into us. They're spraying chemicals over our skies. They're spraying glyphosate. You know, that court settlement is kind of opening the door right now and opening a lot of people's minds about the effects of glyphosate on our biosphere and our health in general, and its widespread use in North America under the banner of Roundup through Monsanto. I mean, it's been banned in many, many countries in Europe and South America now, yet we're still using it in North America. So that court case is really opening. There right now, Barbara, I read one report, there's 700 court cases have been filed against Monsanto for the use of glyphosate, all pending in courts of law. So that's a good thing. People are starting to wake up to that. It's just right. Another travesty being perpetrated on us.
Well,
it drives me nuts.
Yeah,
it drives me crazy. Why are we doing this, guys?
Well, I think it's really...
What are we doing?
Because our question was who in their right mind, and if you heard us in our beginning of our talk, people aren't in their right minds. They have no critical thinking, and they're under basically the brainwashing system where they cannot critically think, and they believe the system and the authorities who tell them that now these types of cancers, these new cancers and so on, it's just becoming the normal. It's just the norm, and it's sad, blah, blah, blah. So we do have to take responsibility, and we can, and we just don't go along thinking everything's fine until we get a disease, and then we start to panic. Let's build up our immune systems. There's many ways of doing that, and here's one of them. I want to read this, it's a very short paragraph here. This article I just sent you, Health Freedom Information Newsletter, okay, it's the truth about the SCAC page. Health Freedom Info is not a business or commercial enterprise. The visitation of the Health Freedom Info website by any person or governmental agency constitutes tacit admission and consent to the sole jurisdiction principles of natural law, original native jurisdiction of Turtle Island. Therefore, all natural human rights and freedoms are hereby secured and preserved. Any and all mere de facto political laws, codes, regulations, statutes, administrative procedures, government alphabet agencies, and or United Nations treaties, to the contrary, notwithstanding, nothing on this website shall be construed as legal advice or medical advice or treatment. For medical or legal advice, please bend over and consult a qualified, licensed professional. And they've got the dollar signs in the word professional.
Yeah, you know what? Earlier I said something. I said, you'd be better off going down to your local crack dealer and becoming a crackhead because the type of side effects that they mentioned up in there is just ridiculous, man. There's a deal out there. If you go out there on YouTube, it says, could cannabis oil cure cancer? It's on the BBC News. And I guarantee you, if you watch that, because it was on the BBC News, they'll put it out there like, well, you know, it might, but here's the other problem and all that kind of stuff. And the fact, they always give you a tiny nugget of truth while turning around trying to make it so that you won't attempt this kind of deal. Because when I first started mentioning about hemp seed oil, because I actually physically took it myself because I was having symptoms of an enlarged prostate or even potential colon cancer. I was having to get up every hour on the hour and go to the bathroom, and this went on for about 2 years, and it was like seriously disruptive to my life. And so I started taking a tablespoon of that hemp seed oil, and you got to remember to get the non-pasteurized, total natural
version.
Yeah. But either way, I started taking that because what do I got to lose at this point? I'm tired of getting up every hour on the hour. So I started taking this. Within 2 weeks, I was sleeping through the entire night, haven't had those symptoms since. And so, to me, it worked. Even if it was only in my mind as a placebo effect that made it work for me, it worked for me, all right? And I'm not a doctor, and I can't advise you to go out and try anything without doing some doggone research. But nonetheless, you would think that the mainstream medical industry would grasp at any potential straw if their ultimate goal was to truly heal people. But it's not. It's blatantly obvious that it's not. And I don't let the doctors slide on this one because the doctors has signed a Hippocratic Oath, and swore a Hippocratic Oath to say that they would do no harm and that they would do the best that they possibly could. Now, if you're a doctor and you read off all these potential side effects, diarrhea, rash, your hair falling out and all that kind of stuff, and then you said, oh, before we do this, let's give me a day or two. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do some research and see if there's any other alternatives out there. Hyperbaric oxygen treatment, baking soda treatment, cannabis oil, chaga, or whatever, all these different types of alternative medicines, and look up their side effects and then weigh it all out. Which is the best chance for my patient to actually have a full recovery and live a decent life? There are people that had their legs amputated because of diabetic ulcers that got seriously infected, and the only way to save their life was to cut their doggone leg off. There are testimonies out there that hyperbaric oxygen treatments had cured and healed that leg, and they still to this day have their leg because there was one doctor who was willing to step outside the box and say, we're going to give this a shot before we go cutting your leg off. And that's the whole thing, folks. If your doctor ain't got the gonads to stand up against the system to be your real doctor, to be a real healer, then he shouldn't even be a doctor, period. And if the governments and the corporations are allowed to do what they do, it's business as usual. They're going to keep making money. It used to be it was rare that somebody had cancer. Now it's one in every 30 people that may get cancer, which is ridiculousness. And
it's,
you know,
going up.
I'm just blown away. I just went on a serious rant yesterday on Mad Science because of things that like British Petroleum put corrects it down in the deal. Back when they were doing that to cover up the oil spill, I was shouting all four points of the compass because I know science, and I said that is a bad idea. You should not be doing that.
Where is it ever?
And so we're seeing the after effects now with all the fishes dying off, and it doesn't end there, because the way that the farmers are farming and they're making the water chemistry out of balance by making it over highly nutrient, causing the green algae to overpopulate, taking over the place, and then in order for them to do flood control, because they took the natural path of the water away from towards the Everglades, and instead left it in Lake Okeechobee, and so in order to keep that from flooding over and flooding out the towns that's built around it, they flush it off to the Gulf of Mexico and then over to the other side of Florida as well. But that green algae then in turn goes down from fresh water into mixed with salt water, which they call brackish water when salt water and fresh water mix. Well, there are biological things that cannot live in fresh water that can live in salt water, and vice versa. So when this algae that is prominent in fresh water mixes with the salt water, it instantaneously dies, but it's still nutrient rich, which feeds the red algae. The red algae then in turn grows in giant blooms, and it releases toxins that kill off fish. And so you got a combination of things going on down there in Florida right now, where people got tons and tons of fish piling up on the shore, and they're just going out there scooping the stuff up. And what are they doing with it? They're probably throwing it in a landfill somewhere, which in turn, when it rains, that nutrients is going to run down into one of the waterways and amplify the effect by making these waterways so highly nutrient rich that these algae run amok. So there's a simple, natural remedy for what's going on down there in Florida, but you can't get the governments to listen. I wrote a letter to Governor Rick Scott of Florida, said, look, there is a simple solution that could actually benefit the farmer, could actually benefit the state of Florida financially, because not only can you use this particular method for solving the problem and filtering out the water, but you can also use it for refertilization, so you can recycle last year's fertilizer with this particular plant that is already a native of Florida, and you can turn it into chicken feed, you can turn it in, like I said, to biodiesel and all that, so that the farmer would have to pay less fuel costs, he'd have to pay less fertilizer costs, he'd be able to grow his crops just as good as he ever did before, because this particular plant is a filter, and it'll filter up all the nutrients, which will put the doggone water back into balance before it ever even gets to Lake Okeechobee, and then that will solve that problem right there. As far as the British Petroleum throwing corrects it down there, I don't know if they stopped yet or not, but if they're still doing it, they're adding to the mix, because if it disperses oil, what do you think's in fish? What do you think's in the microorganisms? Everything out there, folks, every single thing, and this is why I keep telling everybody, and it drives me nuts, because there's a supposed scarcity of crude oil, and so we got to pay higher gas prices and such. Well, that's a lie. It's a flat-out lie, because we live in a carbon-based world, And so all these algaes, if they can make biodiesel, they can make crude oil. That's simple. If you can't understand that, then you didn't pay attention in science class. All of these things, everything, as long as nature does what nature's been doing, as long as it has the chemistry, the heat, and the pressure, it will continue to rejuvenate any oil out there. Wherever you found it to begin with, you'll find it again. Flat out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's scientifically irrefutable, and I challenge any of the mainstream scientists. Anyone out there who wants to come and put head to head and their brain against my brain and try to prove me wrong, step up to the plate. I threw the gauntlet down. It's the ball's in your court. I'm just so fed up with the ridiculousness that's going on. People are dying needlessly. There ain't no reason to be chopping people's legs off if you can save it with oxygen treatments and antibiotics. That's the whole thing. You know, if you get the infection under control, if you get your doggone immune system to be healthy so that it can do the job that nature intended it to do, so you got your leg on the way to healing, and then if you supplement that by putting a higher concentrate of oxygen into the bloodstream, stimulating the stem cells, and then in turn healing and making new cell growth, get the oxygen down into the actual plasma of the blood, it can get into places where it might not have got before, stimulating new cell growth, causing that thing to heal rapidly. The doggone athletes use it. The actresses use it for anti-aging. There's so many benefits, it's ridiculous. And this has even proven to not only cure diabetic ulcers, different stages of gangrene, and break down the pustules that are the little cells, even in the bone cancer, even in brain tumors, has destroyed that pustule, which is the knot that is growing around, that keeps getting bigger, starts pushing on your brain, causing your oxygen levels where it needs to be to not be able to make it there anymore. That's how cancer kills you. It produces a large mass. That large mass pushes down on vital organs, pinching it off. So it's basically like if you tie a tourniquet around your arm and walk around for a week or so, you ain't gonna have an arm because it can't get no oxygen. It's that simple. What do you do? I can't keep shouting at the world.
Try to educate people.
I can't keep shouting at the world if they ain't willing to listen to what I got to say. I don't have all the answers, but the world does.
Well, you know, it is. It to me, it's kind of like our responsibility to look at alternatives, because you know the mainstream big pharma medical society is not serving people in any shape or form. And I, you know, people really only have to do a couple hours of research on the computer. And I go, people, you know, really, it doesn't take a lot of time to take a real good look at what's going on, and look at some of the numbers, and look at some of the stats. And then, you know, use your brain. But unfortunately, I really kind of wonder if society's got a brain anymore.
Well, the biggest thing is...
People are just like... Honestly, people seem like they're in a zombie state in society.
I agree,
like,
but the biggest thing...
Like, to get people critical thinking now is really hard to stimulate from critical thinking in people.
The biggest thing about what you just said...
They want to just go about their lives and live in their matrix.
The biggest thing about what you said is as far as using their brain, if they got it, is to stop asking the government for permission. Stop asking the medical industry for permission to heal yourself or your family.
Absolutely. When you go to the doctor's office and he wants to give you a new prescription drug, ask the doctor if he's studied the side effects. Ask the doctor if he's read the insert and the possible conflicts in your body, and put that right to your doctor. If everybody did it though, everybody went into a doctor's office and used this approach to doctors instead of just going in there worshiping these people.
You see a change
in the doctors themselves.
I got to tell you a personal experience. I had a doctor mock and ridicule me and get mad at me at the Veterans Administration Hospital, because what happened was my wife went to a auction with me and she bought a purse. Well, in that purse, there were some doggone diabetic needles in that purse. Well, the doggone thing fell out on the floor. Well, she brought it to me, and she asked me, well, what should I do with these? And I said, well, I'll get rid of them. But one of them fell off on the floor. Well, when I went down to pick it up, it stuck me in my finger. And it was a used diabetic needle. And so, of course, obviously, now I'm concerned because I don't know what the person prior to me had as far as disease-wise. And so I go to the VA, and they were going to run me through a hepatitis series of shots, which is 3 shots. You got to take 1 shot and then come back about, you know, 2 weeks to a month later, take another shot and then do that again. And supposedly by the time this is all said and done, you will be immune to hepatitis. Well, in the process of the first shot, I asked him about it, the possible side effects, and he said, well, there's a possibility that you could actually get hepatitis from this shot. And yeah. So I'm concerned. And so I'm saying, hold on, let's not be so rash about this. I said, I'm really concerned about this deal, and I want a little bit more explanation. Well, he actually got mad and ridiculed me because that's like I'm an anti-vaccine person or something like that. You know, that's the kind of feeling that I got. Oh, he's one of those anti-vaccine people. And I'm saying, no, I just want to, before I take this shot, to be more informed about the potential risk. But the fact that he got upset because I didn't trust his doctoring or whatever, I was just disgusted by that. You know, but
well, I have a personal experience. When I was had my first child, I was in my early 20s, and right away on my first visit to my gynecologist, he whips out a prescription pad, and he says he's going to write me a prescription for oral contraceptives, birth control pills. I didn't ask for this. He just whipped it out and was going to start. He said, I'm giving you a prescription for contraceptive, you know, birth control pills. I said, I don't want those. He said, why? I said, because they're cancer causing. You can get cancer from that. And he said, no. I give them to my wife. Women are taking them now. Now, this was in the early 60s, right?
Yeah.
And these were just coming out. The birth control pills were just hitting the market then. There was no studies, long-term studies on this, but my instincts, you know, I keep referring to my instincts again, said this is something serious, and there were some initial early reports coming out from an alternative perspective on these birth control pills that they very possibly would cause cancer risk. He did not, oh no, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. I've put my wife on these birth control pills. Now, okay, so this was quite a while ago, as you know. Now, as don't you know, studies, of course, are showing that there's consistent evidence that the risks of breast and cervical cancers are increased in women who use oral contraceptives, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So there you go. So well, this doctor basically is shoving this stuff at his wife. Why don't you use a condom?
How about the doggone day after pill? I got questions about that, where, you know, it's like the abortion pill or whatever. If that's going to kill the baby, what's that do to the person that's carrying the baby? You see what I'm saying? What I don't get the mindset of people, you know.
Well, think about what you just said. Okay, think about what I just said. You know, take a pill. You don't want to get pregnant, take a pill. Take a pill that will give you cancer. After morning pill, before morning pill, monthly pill, whatever. Take these pills that will cause sickness and could kill you so that you don't get pregnant. Where's the common sense in that? And where's the common sense about taking responsibility for your own body, basically? You know, men and women, you know. I'm just saying, it's like you say, you know, we've been saying critical thinking is out the window. Take a pill. Here's a pill. Here's another pill. Take this pill. If you can't sleep, take a pill. Right?
So, I'm going to the doctor to get healthy because I've got a condition, and the doctor offers me a medication that has symptoms that, at least by my judgment, are a heck of a lot worse than the doggone the problem I went to him to before. So, if I'm not using critical thinking, then I end up with diarrhea, rash, bald headed, and, you know, itching like heck. And I just don't see any common sense in even risking that, because, you know, there's a reason why I'm not a drug dealer. Because I got really bad luck. If I my first drug deal would be to a cop, and he would be like, "How long you been selling dope?" And I'd be like, "Well, 5 minutes now." And he said, "Well, you're not very good at it." And I said, "Apparently not." So, yeah, I'm not doing that. You know, it's just regardless.
The point is, I think we're trying to make the point is that we have been indoctrinated, basically, to supposedly take an easy route for all problems that we deal with. Now, some of them are real, some of them are psychosomatic, some of them, you know, is being basically, we're being indoctrinated with, you know, poisoning on all levels, but there are ways that we can help ourselves, heal ourselves, support our immune system that are natural, but we've been indoctrinated, brainwashed, basically, to turn to the medical factory, you know, or the chemical factory, or the pharmaceutical factory.
Yeah, the
it's
white
easy,
lab,
just take a pill.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't sleep, take a pill. But there are other things you can do to help yourself.
Didn't they used to drink a warm glass of milk at night to go to sleep?
Take a dose of castor oil every day. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Drink your chaga.
Drink your chaga.
Well,
go for a walk out in the woods.
What you just
with your shoes off.
What you just explained, Barbara, is what the average Joe should be paying attention to give yourself every possible option. You know, at your body doing what your body supposedly does naturally. But first you gotta understand why it is your body's reacting the way it is, as it is. I put a video link out there about a week ago about, I have to dig it up again, but there is a doctor that I kept talking about, and you'll find negative stuff written about this particular doctor, just like you'll find negative stuff written about every holistic doctor, every single alternative medicine. It's planned opposition, nonetheless. Dr. Lorraine Day wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen, and wherein she breaks it down why these diseases are happening. And all these other doctors that done all these different alternative medicines pretty much did the same exact thing. They understood the chemistry of the body. They understood which herbs or different types of oils and stuff would do certain things. And so if you've got a symptom that is being caused by your body being highly acidic, then you need to be able to change your chemistry back into a more alkaline state where it's more natural so that you can get your body back into shape to take care of itself. Well, they don't tell you this at the doctor's office. They don't sit down and explain to you why.
We have to look at the system, the system of creation, you know, and how there is a harmony and balance in all part of in all creation, even in a human system of harmony and balance. And when something gets out of balance, there is something called a dis-ease. Okay, dis-ease, right? And in the way of the traditions, even Chinese medicine, ancient Chinese medicines and others and indigenous medicines, it is the body, mind, and spirit that we are looking at. That's taken into consideration, those three aspects, body, mind, and spirit. Now, I know we've been riled up here about, you know, the inability of critical thinking and the whole system, and people should take charge and take responsibilities, and that's very true. And I don't want to put it out like we're making light of it when people have an illness, you know. And in my experiences, illnesses don't just happen with a snap of the finger. There's an incremental process that you start to experience, and you may not be aware of it. Little things start to happen, like little signs, or we could say red flags even, with, you know, with your body, even in your thoughts or something along those lines. Emotions, for instance, too. Physical things and emotions. And this is what we're talking about, body, mind, and spirit. So the body does give us signals. In many ways, we receive signals that something is shifting out of balance in this sacred system that we are, in this creation that we are, body, mind, and spirit. The same way with nature. We start to notice leaves on trees have these really black, weird spots on them, or the bark's starting to fall off of trees, or animals are seen with tumors on their bodies. So these are signs, these are red flags telling us, hey, there's something going on in the environment that is affecting the whole. So our bodies will tell us something, but again, it's about our being more aware and alert and taking responsibility for how we are living our lives. Introducing, for instance, making sure that we do create a balance in our lives. If you work, 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 stress, 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 you don't sleep, you got stress, you got an ulcer, you know, where's your balance? You know, you have to find a balance because that's the way we're made. You know, what do they say? All work and no play? What's the term?
I don't know, but there's a whole lot of them just like that. You know, laughter's good medicine and an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Eat the seeds.
Well, yeah, I mean, these things are, so if you do something simple as taking a little shot of natural with the mother in it, apple cider vinegar every day in a glass of warm water, I mean, it's a simple thing that you can do. It changes the internal system and harmonizes and balances it. There's many other things. Now, apple cider vinegar has a ton of things that will help you health-wise.
You know,
one of them is to eliminate gout, for instance.
I've got a bottle sitting here, but how do I get it in my body? I can't drink the stuff.
Oh, no, just a little capful in warm water. It's delicious. You know, I love it.
A capful in warm water. Okay, I'm going to try that because I got a bottle right here in front of me, Barbara.
My body loves it. My body reacts. So Red, yay, thank you, Red. He says, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to say all work and no play makes Jack a sick boy.
Medical honey is the only alternative medicine that I've actually seen made into the mainstream, because I actually witnessed them using medical honey to try to heal a wound that my father-in-law had, where they basically fill this wound in with medical honey and then they'll wrap it up and stuff. But it just...
Well, yeah, that's nature. So there you have nature, right? So here's the thing. I read a study a while back ago. You know, in my tradition, and in many indigenous traditions, there are ways of purifying the body. Okay, we call it purification or purifying or releasing toxins or healing, bringing in healing. And one of that is called the Inipi, or people call it a sweat lodge. So these scientists were doing these studies and putting people who were sort of, you know, ill or whatever, suffering from certain things, in a setup that replicated a sweat lodge, okay? Which means you go into a covered structure that happens to be in a traditional, built in a traditional way, which has a lot more involving. It's built in the way that the white buffalo calf woman brought to the people, which means that whole structure made with saplings is set up with sacred geometry, by the way, which is a frequency, by the way. And it's specific, so it creates a certain frequency, the way these things are built. So this is a structure made from saplings. It's like a turned up, overturned basket, okay? And you get inside and you cover it with blankets, and you bring in heated specific stones. We call them Inyawakan, which are grandfathers. They're sacred stones. They're not just any stone. You have to have these certain crystalline. These stones have crystals in them. And they're from the earth, you know, they're not found everywhere. So anyway, we go in and we heat these stones are heated up and they're brought in to the lodge inside, put in a little hole in the ground, and people come in. And then you pour water, which is not just pouring water, it's a ceremony, and the water is called Mini Wichoni, sacred water. So it's a ceremony, it's sacred, it's specific. So these scientists did this study over a period of time with putting people in a in an enclosure with heated, bringing in some form of heat. I don't know if it was specifically done that way with pouring water on heated stones, but they discovered through their tests that...
What happened?
Overall had a general sense...
Oh, you cut out there for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, that people actually reacted in a positive way. They were releasing toxins, and they had a general overall sense of well-being and calmness and so on and so forth. So they were saying that the Indian people had it right. They were using a sweat, what they called the sweat lodge, and that the Indian people were very wise and smart because they found out, these medical people found out that in fact the sweat lodge is a very significant part of the healing process that the Indian people knew about for centuries and centuries.
Well, there's a comment in the chat room that I got to touch on. Anon8225 put in there, yes, it is disgusting in Florida right now. I was blown away when I heard they are simply throwing 500,000 pounds of fish into a landfill. Is that sinking into anybody's head? Now, what's that going to do to that soil in that landfill? It's going to make it really super highly nutrient-rich.
Toxic. And I talked to a guy living in Miami.
It's
going to
create the problem. It's just going to exacerbate the problem.
Yeah.
It's not the solving.
Because
it's not the
rains.
Solving of the problem. Look at what just happened in North Carolina. Thousands and thousands of pigs, turkeys, and chickens died in the flood. And all
yep.
that stuff, and the sewage and everything else, and all that stuff is flowing into the waters, into the water system, the groundwater. It's just, it's a nightmare.
Unbelievable. I was looking at that last night, and the reports about the toxicity in the water is just mind-boggling, and it's going to be there for years. I mean, this is going to be catastrophic to these communities.
Yeah, so if you don't have a filter on your water, if you don't take responsibility, and you still... open that tap in your kitchen and put your glass under there. You shouldn't be doing that anyway, folks, really. No, I mean, years and years and years now, do not drink the tap water.
Absolutely.
You know?
Buy a filter system, man. They're not that expensive, Barbara. There's really good systems. And you think about it, folks, what would be the best thing that you could possibly invest your money in right now, knowing the toxicity that we hear about? This right across the United States, the groundwater is contaminated everywhere we look. Doesn't matter where you look, you see these problems. So the best thing that you can invest in your life right now, if you can't get good water, is a filtering system.
Oh, come on. You can always...
It's a no-brainer.
You can always go to the doctor and get chemotherapy, and you can wear a wig.
And you can drink that water to take it down. You're getting the water, of course, got fluoride. You know, that's a good one. You're not going to have rotten teeth.
But here's something.
Yeah, you don't have
energy. You're not going to think either.
Just for people who say, well, I don't have money to buy a filter system. Well, here's a natural, what you'll need for a natural water filter. You'll need a 1.5 liter bottle, activated charcoal, coffee filters, sand, what's this other one? A craft knife, and gravel. How to create a natural water filter.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this by yourself. You do not have to go out and spend money, a lot of money, all right? So I'm just saying you can do this, but we need to do this. You know, this is a do-it-yourself water filter, homemade high-volume water filter. You can either buy one or you can make one. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, those people down there in North Carolina or wherever else this is going on, they're not going to, you know, they're just not going to have this information, you know. If they don't have a water filter, and they know, who knows all about these animals and the sewage leaking out due to the floods and so on.
I was talking to a gentleman in Florida, in Miami, Barbara, his name is Mike Anderson, and, you know, we were talking about what's going on down there. I wanted to try and make sure that all the information I was getting about the die-off on the beaches is correct. And he says, you just wouldn't believe it. There is literally millions and millions, not thousands, but millions of fish and animals and groupers and every form of sea life washing up on the beaches of Florida right now in South Florida. I mean, folks, if this doesn't get you right to the core, then I don't know what to say to people, Barbara. I mean, the all life begins in the ocean.
And
we're seeing so many multiple problems. We're seeing so many multiple problems with the oceans worldwide right now, not just South Florida. Everywhere I look, every report I read, and I try and make sure when I read these reports, Barbara, that I've got the information, that it's coming from a reliable source so that we're not putting out BS, but everything I'm seeing is correct, and it just boggles my mind. What's it going to take, guys? What is it going to take for people to wake up, Barbara? I don't know. I think it's going to take for people to be directly impacting their lives in ways that actually slaps them in the side of the head and say, hey, we got to do something. But honestly, it gets to that point. You know, and I know it's going to be too late. Now is the time to get busy with this issue,
well,
especially.
It seems to be across the world. And you can Google, if you really want to find out this information, you can Google, you know, die-offs. In 2018.
It blows your mind. People got to do that.
You know,
they got to go look. Go look.
But it's like, it's not, and so what happens to nature happens to us. We are part of nature. We're not separate. This is our home. The environment, the air, the earth, everything, the foods, everything, we are part of. We're not isolated and separated from what's going on out there in nature. We're a part of it. So again, I want to emphasize that it's important that not to panic, not to get into fear. That's not why we're talking about this. What we're doing is to say we need to take responsibility, and we can, we should. I'm going to say even we must take responsibility for our own health, the health of our children, and to work towards how to do that. There are solutions. There are so many solutions. You know, and you can also, you can write your congressman. You can write thewhitehouse.gov and talk about, you know, what's going on and voice your opinion, but take charge of your life. Don't be reliant and dependent upon the government or politicians to make everything better, because I'm sorry, they're just not going to.
Well, until the killer spider lands on your face, it's not a problem. Come on. You know, if that killer spider ain't on your face, there's no reason to slap your face.
Well, you could say it's happening, and it's not in my backyard, that whole thing. Not in my backyard.
It's ridiculous.
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, nothing going on, so I don't have to worry, but I'm sorry. We cannot isolate ourselves, say, well, we're not, that doesn't involve us. What's going on over there doesn't involve me. It's not happening here, but it is. Because eventually, it's like a creeping sickness. It's a creeping...
All oceans are connected.
All water sources are connected.
Exactly.
And so, you know, and so the water, the air, everything, the foods, again, we are all connected. We have to know that you can't just say, well, it's not affecting me, so I don't give a crap.
That's right.
Well, we better start giving a crap. We better start getting smart. We better start taking responsibility for what is happening in our lives, our children's lives, our neighbors' lives, because we are all related, and we're not isolated, we're not separate, we are all connected, and eventually what's going on over there is going to make its way over here in all aspects. I'm not just talking about the poisoning of the water or the air. I'm talking about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'll tell you, Barbara, the native population and the fishing population and the sports guys up here really got a slap in the face this year, because they're starting to see all these gross abnormalities. I've talked to people that are out fishing a very common spot called the China Bar, which is halfway between Prince Rupert and Terrace. And I had many, many people tell me stories. I was talking to a native gentleman yesterday at the farmer's market. They're harvesting sockeye up in Hazleton right now, and they're seeing growths and abnormalities. They sent them off to universities. They're sending them down to Vancouver to get tested. These things are just starting to show
get
up now.
Tested. Well, they have to do studies. They'll need money. They'll need funding for tests. So
do you need a test
to know that something serious is happening?
Well, yeah, but people are going, what the heck's going on? Well, you know what?
Well, it's obvious what's going on. Yeah. I mean, come on. You go to the authorities and say, test this fish. I'm sorry. Then they'll say, well, there's a percentage of radiation or whatever it is, this blah, 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 blah. They come up with a strange name that you can't pronounce. There's a percentage of that in the fish now. But you know what? Our laws, the environmental law says you can ingest a certain percentage of this. We put out that law. So it's okay.
Yeah. And the levels, they put the levels up everywhere all the time just to fit their agenda. I mean, they did that
That's
with radiation levels
change,
in the States.
They changed
the laws to suit their snows, of
they
course.
They changed the levels to suit their laws and their game.
Of course. But anyways, it is starting to wake people up here, but, you know, when we start seeing this kind of activity, it's at a point now where it's very, very, very serious. I mean, I was talking to one gentleman that, you know, he tells me, you know, 15 years ago they used to go down the river with dip nets, and every dip they'd get hundreds of fish. Hundreds. Now they go down, and I'm looking at the guy, and he's looking right in the eye, and going, we're going down there and dipping now with dip nets and getting a fish, a dip, a fish, a dip. And he says they're smaller, and now they're starting to show up with growth. Well, boy, I'll tell you, I engaged with some really, really powerful conversations yesterday, and people now are starting to pay attention. But really, guys, it's getting to a point now. What's going on with our oceans? Every industry, as far as I'm concerned, in the world right now should be taken to court for destruction of our environment.
That's right.
Because we have something called common law, and nobody has the right to destroy your backyard. And that's exactly what's been going on for the last 100 years, since the start of the Industrial Revolution, since all the new chemicals and all the new stuff has hit our society. And then we look at society now, we have regressed. We have not progressed. We're destroying the one thing that should be at the top of everybody's list. That's being able to ensure our kids have a place to live on. Right now, it blows my mind the multiple effects that we're going to see in the ocean, because we have this thing called the food chain. And when you start taking major pieces out of it, eventually it will get to a point where it collapses. And when it collapses, it will take a long, long time to form itself again. And that, I think, is going to get the point where society will stand up and scream, but it'll be too late. Go ahead.
I don't want to add insult to injury, but I'm going to throw a link in there anyway, and I'm not even going to read it out onto the doggone show, because I don't want to ruin anybody's appetite or anything like that. But if you think the doggone government and the Food and Drug Administration have your best interest, go read this article, 9 Disgusting Things That the FDA Allows in Your Food. All right? 9 Disgusting Things. It just, look. Here's the thing, you know, if you talk about vaccines, you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory. If you mention what somebody might allow in your food, there's actually documentation out there of what they say, how many parts per whatever insect legs can be in whatever, you know, and that kind of stuff like that. But it gets worse than that, you know. Go ahead.
So I'm going to say here, kids around the world are suing their governments for ruining the planet.
Well, maybe they should.
Amen.
Woo-hoo. This is what, you see, the young people are doing this. They're not afraid to do this. What, you know, it says, what's the point of inheriting the earth if it's only going to burn or drown us? Kids around the world are asking governments this question and demanding answers in court. Okay?
That's a very inspiring statement, isn't it, Barb?
And the government is fighting fiercely to dismiss this matter as fast as possible. Of course, think of that.
Well, of course, and the more the government's pushing back against these groups. I read a little article about these groups, and there's one over in England I've been following, and a couple of others. And the more the government's pushing back, the more the groups are growing. So, bring it on, guys. Let's get at them.
Ages from 10 to 21.
Well, I was about to mention that earlier. I forgot about it. It's about time that the people, you know, start off a whole entire slew of class action lawsuits against the medical industry, the governments, the corporations, and all that for all this ridiculousness. If there's potential cures for cancer out there that have been around for at least in the 30s all the way up to the present day, then there's got to be some answering to do. Somebody needs to explain why it is that these particular medicines weren't allowed. Like, there's probably things in Canada that we can't get here in the U.S., vice versa. There's probably things in Mexico that are working that we can't get here that they can get down there. There's a reason why people leave a particular country to go to another country if they have a potential alternative available. I mean, you cited an example earlier about the little girl there, Barbara. It just drives me insane that, you know, these people are supposedly there as representation for your benefit, and your doctor is supposed to be there to, you know, following the Hippocratic Oath, of course, do no harm and be there for your best interest. But it seems to me that all these industries, everything from energy to alternative foods and medicines, that they all have something in common. And that is the greedy financial system that will allow or disallow certain things depending on whether or not it's going to be financially plausible for them. If it's going to take money out of their wallet, they don't want it. You don't
What we're talking about is our constitutional right, these children say, of life and liberty and property. And you have, here's what's going on. The National Association of Manufacturers, the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, the American Petroleum Institute, who together claim to generate 8% of the U.S. economy and support 9.8 million U.S. jobs, intervened, joining the government as defendants against the children. Together they moved to dismiss the case.
Jeez.
So these interveners are comprised of more than 15,000 members who are leaders of the coal, oil, and natural gas industries, as well as petroleum refineries and petrochemical manufacturers, and that their economic interests are impacted by this litigation. The court has no doubt that they have thoroughly studied the issue at the core in this case and are in a position to tender their own scientific evidence, you know, regarding this issue. So these corporate mongrels, these money-sucking, earth-raping groups are going against children.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the creepy thing about that whole deal is those children are going to be the future of the world, you know? So give them all brain damage and tumors and cancers and bald heads and rashes and diarrhea now, you know? It's amazing that the human race even made it this far at this stage in the game. I just can't believe the ridiculousness that is allowed to occur. But it always comes back to the same thing. The true power, it lies in the hands of the people. And until they decide that enough's enough and they're going to stop being brainwashed and believing everything that just because some guy in a white lab coat and a fancy document on the wall said so, that you're going to take chemotherapy or any of these other drugs that have these doggone side effects listed as long as your arm or whatever. That, by the way, if it doesn't cure it, so they're going to cut that arm off anyhow, so what's the point? You know, it's just, I'm baffled. I'm baffled by the fact that all these people, there's this little video that was played out a long time ago. It's called The Dots or something like that. It's where a little tiny group of dots was ruling over all the other millions of dots and stuff like that. And, you know, basically they would, you know, they're the government, you know, that's the authority. So they're going to allow a lot of things to be done to them under the guise of protection and security and the welfare of everybody else. Well, if it's your family member up on that table getting ready to have an amputation and there was an actual cure for this particular ailment or, you know, wound or whatever that could have sped the process of healing up, and that doctor didn't even know about it, you know, these doctors are supposed to be up on the latest medicines, right? But they're not. And when I spoke to the doctor about the hyperbaric oxygen treatment, he had heard about it, but it wasn't something that they researched a lot in or anything like that. And then he said that he would tell the wound clinic and see what they thought, what their thoughts on the matter was. He never even mentioned it to the wound clinic, because I mentioned it to the wound clinic, but they still never did anything about it. It wasn't something that was prescribed by the system of the hospital that my father-in-law was in, and so they wouldn't go outside the box and try something that is alternative, even though the two options were he either gets his leg amputated or he goes home and dies from infection. Now, I would say, if I was a doctor, I would say, you know, look, what do you got to lose at this point? If it's hemp seed oil or chaga or bacon soda or whatever, any alternative medicine, at this point in the game, what do you got to lose? But they're not going to put their name badge in front of it because they don't want to get fired. They still want to live in their fancy house. They don't want to lose their money, their gravy train. And as long as people are sick, they're on the gravy train. And you would think that if any doctor had any kind of conscience whatsoever, that he'd be one of those doctors that would get himself fired by doing it anyway. That's what I got to say about it. Hi, Ted. You got any thoughts on the matter?
Well, that's intense. That's an intense thing to come in on. I liked it. Powerful.
Well, you know what? We started off, it was kind of a, you know, it's not a funny subject, but it's just like when you read off these side effects, you gotta ask, there's got to be something going on here. When people are given a medicine that supposedly treats cancer, doesn't say it cures cancer, it treats cancer, but in the process of treating cancer, could cause this, 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 or this, including diarrhea, rash, and your hair falling out, and that. I mean, I'm thinking, I would rather deal with the original disease than I would all these other possible side effects, be laying around bald-headed, itching with diarrhea, and, you know, be totally helpless. And just what, for a couple months of potential extra life? When there's known cures out there, been out there since the 30s, or probably even before then, probably since the day this planet was designed, there was a cure for everything out there. But that type of research doesn't make it to the front because it doesn't make money.
Yeah, you have looking at why doctors are so against alternative medicines. Okay, they're dismissive of alternative medicines. They are positively hostile towards it.
Oh
they
yeah,
say,
he said. He looked at me. He looked at me like he looked at me like, how dare I question a doctor?
Exactly. So they say publicly that this is because there is no scientific proof that alternative medicine actually works. They are scared of alternative medicines. They feel deeply threatened because doctors have spent years of their life studying and working within the modern medical health system. They feel entitled to reap the financial and other rewards which go with being a medical doctor.
Well, he looked at me in disgust, like, how dare I question his lab coat? And I'm baffled, because didn't you take a Hippocratic oath to not do no harm? Didn't you swear to try to heal people? Isn't that your job? Isn't that what a doctor's supposed to do?
Well, it's about the scientific studies. You know, that gets in the way of nature. It gets in the way of our own natural healing abilities because there's no scientific studies done. They don't want to do studies on these anyway.
Well, hold on a second. Shouldn't that doggone doctor be a scientist? Because he's recommended scientific studies, and in order to be a scientist, all you got to do is know that you got to use the scientific method. You got to test. You got to verify, and all this kind of stuff. You know, shouldn't a doctor be testing and verifying anything that he's fixing on putting into his body, the body of his patient? He should be a scientist. He should have already tested it. He should have checked it out. Well, especially when somebody like me brought it to the forefront and said, and I sit there and I give him all the details, all the research that I did. I pointed out where there are actual treatment centers. I pointed out all the different alternatives. If you couldn't afford the chamber, there were smaller systems that work externally that do the same thing, all the way down to research into hydrogen peroxide, food-grade hydrogen peroxide therapy. And I explained in graphic detail the cause and effect of what this thing would actually be doing and what's the purpose, why I'm even bringing it forward. And had he understood the illness, the wound that he was trying to do and why it wasn't healing, because this particular guy was a diabetic, that this medicine wasn't as effective because you couldn't get enough oxygen into the bloodstream down to that area due to poor circulation, so it was oxygen deprived why this leg is dying. And so by using this procedure...
What I see happening here, what we're talking about, is so these doctors are concerned more about their hard-earned money in the manner in which they've studied hard and paid a lot of money to be able to do, rather than people's lives.
Exactly. What kind of a person is that?
And if you ain't in the club...
That's the bottom line.
If you ain't in the club, you don't get all the benefits. Because I want to point something out. a hyperbaric oxygen treatment center. Cheapest price I think I saw for maybe a half an hour section is like $150 and up. All right, now that's ridiculous for something that would be so ridiculously simple. Granted, they got to pay for the equipment, and it's not mainstream. However, if you look up what I'm talking about, hyperbaric oxygen treatments, you'll find out that movie stars get to use it, athletes get to use it, all right? And why do athletes use it? So they can heal faster, so that they can get back on the field and make more money.
Do you know that approximately 25% of hospital admissions are for iatrogenic reasons, meaning caused by medical treatments or procedures?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, look at the number of people that die from drug interaction now in the United States of America. Yep. Look at that stat, and that'll absolutely blow your mind. I believe it's number four killer. And I just looked at some numbers on that, Barb, and drug interaction is directly responsible now for being the fourth. I think it is the fourth biggest killer of people in the United States of America. And respiratory diseases have now gone from number seven to number five in the last couple of years. Boy, we're really progressing, buddy. I'll tell you, it's great.
Can you do me a favor on that subject? The next time you look up all those stats of how many people actually died from over-the-counter drugs, also look up the stats of how many people actually died from alternative medicines.
Because exactly.
I don't think you're going to find any.
Well, they don't care.
I'd like to bring something up.
Go ahead.
Now, here's something for you. You have how many mysterious holistic doctor deaths are on the rise?
Yeah.
We talked about this, right?
Yeah, we did. Go ahead, Ted. You wanted to add a thought, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of doctors aren't exactly just greedy. I think they're misinformed, but I think what it really boils down to is the system of education in the United States, where they come out in so much debt, and even if they could come out without debt, so that they paid for all their own schooling, or maybe they're a rich family, then even when they get out of school, they're not going to be able to afford the malpractice insurance to start their own practice. They have to start working at a hospital or a larger entity. That basically tells you to follow the medical insurance coding handbook. So if you have a symptom, you have to go down through the coding handbook and basically attach that to a disease so it can get coded and paid for by billing of insurance. And if you don't do that, the hospital is just going to fire you. Yeah. That's all there is to it. If you go into the hospital, you try to change the way that they're treating, they'll just laugh you out of there and then fire you.
That's why the people need to demand it. The people need to go to these doctor meetings and demand that they look into other things, because it's ridiculous, because their track record shows that with chemotherapy, the people may live just a hair longer, but they lose their hair in the process, plus they're miserable through it, and the price of the drugs that they're talking about as opposed to the price of any of these alternative medicines is mind-blowing. I mean, what did May say in there? $15,000 for one treatment?
I really feel there's a reason, it's all streamlined the way it is simply because of the medical coding, the way the insurance is done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. If there was, there's so much stringence on you, you're not an MD, you can't cure, diagnose, treat, or help anybody with disease.
No.
So, there you go, right there. The only way you can do that is if you have medical malpractice insurance, and basically in order to have that, you're going to need to work for somebody that has that, and they're going to probably require you to do the billing through the insurance coding handbook. Otherwise, if you can find a doctor that owns their own medical malpractice insurance and has their own clinic, they can do whatever they want. Now, you'll have to pay for it out of pocket because your insurance is going to cover it. Yeah. So a lot of it's right there in the insurance and the handbook problem. It's if you have money out of pocket that you can go do whatever movie star wants. But what we're saying is the average person, and I don't really blame it on the doctor, it's the institution, it's definitely the insurance companies.
Well, I still hold some fault to the doctor because as a human, I couldn't in good conscience tell somebody to take this drug when I haven't done all the, complete.
Well, I understand
I've exhausted every single research avenue, I would not give it to them.
That's a reason why. I agree with that. That's people that work as a chef ordering the food from the magazine and then selling it and having no idea what these ingredients in this food are doing to people.
Yeah.
You can't be, but look, it's going around everywhere. I mean, people that work in the water plants, they're putting in chemicals. They say it's good to put the chlorine in. You know what I mean? Like, they put it in there. You know, they say it's good to put the weird stuff in the food. Oh, it's easier. We'll just pull this chicken breast out of the freezer. It's pumped with a bunch of stuff. It will never be overcooked. Just eat it. You know what I mean? It's like, if you do the research on these things, like, this is the thing. I feel your frustrations on this. Medical industry is a pretty good example of this, but it applies to almost everything we do in society.
Well, even in the cattle industry, when they're putting growth hormones into cows so that they get bigger cows or bigger chickens or whatever, so that they can make more money, they're not realizing that old saying that you are what you eat is a truthful saying. And so, what's that doing to the human body after you ingest the milk with human growth hormones and stuff? You know, it's mind blowing. It's ridiculous.
I don't know how a farmer can like do that without really looking into it. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I used to worm my animals with weird wormers, and then I was like, you know, this started looking into it. It just makes the worms more tough. It just increases tougher genetics on the insect side or the parasite side. So I just started juicing garlic. Giving my animal juiced garlic and knocks it right out.
Well, it is all across the board with everything. If you talk about how could these farmers use this poison on the food on their farms, on the land that their families are living at, or that workers come in standing in the fields and whatever, harvesting while they're spraying this toxic chemical on the food that they sell for money that they need, that they say they need to feed their family. I mean, it's like it gets to be a little crazy.
Little circle.
Yeah.
Do you know?
You know what? It all could be corrected in 2 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely, every aspect of it could be corrected in 2 years.
There's natural.
Well, everyone is complicit, is what I'm saying.
There are natural.
We are all complicit. I mean, every system that we are under, of course, is complicit. You know, when you have the education system, the political system, the financial system, the religious system, every system is complicit to what they are feeding the people. You know, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, they're complicit. And they make these determinations and decisions that are, you know, the majority of it is basically comprised from the agenda and how to do this and that and so on, how to brainwash and systematically, you know, herd the people into this, you know, direction where you want them to go, to make them sick, to give, you know, mind control them and eliminate the critical thinking.
Well, I understand. Well,
we're all good. We got medical science now to take care of that, Barbara.
I understand.
Well, yeah, so you create the problem. What is the problem? And then you create the solution, right? Well,
of course, problem, reaction, solution. Ding. Go ahead.
I understand the plight of the doctor, that he's under red tape and could risk his job, and he's financially, you know, under the deal.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is the human factor of it, because, you know, if you're putting something into the body that could potentially cause more problems when you're trying to heal them, then my thought on that particular deal is that you go out like you and I and Barry and Ted and everybody else does. We go out, we do all kinds of research on everything to put all options on the table and give your patient the chance. Say, look, this hasn't really been scientifically verified, but these people claim that this is what this particular alternative medicine does, and this one the same thing, and this one, and this is what we know, this is what we've got right here. These are all your options. Which one would you feel most comfortable with? I guarantee the majority of them want to try the natural cure before, you know, they go into all these other ones that's going to make your hair fall out and make you sick. That's why I said that medicine that we read off of there, that those people read off while we were talking about, you know, that should have been a last ditch effort. You know, before all the, you know, surgery, before all the other craziness, you should have went down and you should have put everything on the table that this is what we know. This people had this, benefit back in the day, and this is what they used to do, and this is what we're doing now, or whatever. You see what I'm trying to say here?
I just want to note this. Lisa Allcaps wrote in the People for People chat here. She said years ago she worked as a paramedic and carried many cancer patients in hospital for cancer treatment, they were too sick, too weak to go by car, and they were extremely ill, miserable, and they were still treated long after there was any improvement in their condition. And she says she was so disgusted.
Yeah. It's terrible to see what these people go through. You know, and the fact that, you know, they're so afraid to not believe what the doctor says because, of course, they're doctors. They got the title and everything's great. So a guy like me comes along and says, hey, you got diabetes? This particular research that I did said that hemp seed oil will cure diabetes at certain stages or whatever, or even after a certain period of time will cure any stage of diabetes. So you already have to take the insulin shots. If you're not allergic to hemp seed oil, what's the harm in trying it? You know, if it's caused you no adverse effects and it reduces the amount of shots you have to make sure you're
alert. Well, because it's quackery, that's why, well, because that's part of the brainwashing.
There you go. But you realize how many people will hear what I have to say and just walk away? They don't listen? Oh, I'll ask my doctors what they say.
I think there's an increase going on in the alternative therapies, and there's like a new wave of quote-unquote doctors that use words instead of cure, like reverse words, that instead of treat they use like energize.
Yeah,
you know, because like there's just a new language coming out to describe a new kind of therapy that's an old therapy, because that's just the way it is. So it's interesting when I talk to people on the phone, like, about supplements or doing something for medicine of any kind, you know, they'll give me the whole preface. You know, I don't treat, cure, diagnose any diseases, I'm not a medical doctor kind of thing. But then we talk more about medicine than, you know, I ever talk with a doctor. You see what I mean?
You want to hear a step forward, guys? There's a medical cannabis clinic opening in Terrace.
Good.
Chinese doctor, I don't have his name right in front of me, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry about that. But I actually did call, and I asked for a coffee break with him this week, or to get together with coffee, and I'm waiting for him to get
back.
Where
is it opening up?
In Terrace, British Columbia, my hometown.
Get
a load of this, Barbara. Let me just—I'll let you talk in a second. I've actually had the opportunity to talk to a couple local doctors about this clinic opening up. One of them is a 28-year-old doctor, just became a doctor, and to say that her ears are open, I honestly say, her ears are open. She's really starting to pay attention. Had a conversation with her about it. Just planted a little seed in her mind. And she was the one that actually started talking about this cannabis clinic. And of course, boy, did I jump in on that. And, you know, I think really if we can reach their hearts, it's all about reaching these doctors' hearts to make them understand that they're killing people.
We're looking at an enormous change, you know, that needs to happen in all systems. And we're all a part of it. And like you say, if you reach people's hearts, the more we talk about it, the more we give, you know, information, the more we show testimonies, you know, and on and on and on. It's changing. It's slowly shifting. Look at what Bernadette and her, you know, they're doing over there in Scotland, you know. They're doing this through legal channels, you know. So this is slowly changing, and we just have to keep giving the information, you know, all the speculations on it and all the possibilities and all the testimonies.
I think that I at least reached the heart of one vascular surgeon, because when I had a long conversation with this vascular surgeon on there, who was good, really good at what she does. And she really had concern about her patient. When I talked to her and I explained to her in graphic detail about how that hyperbaric treatment could actually supplement her surgery skills to help her patients get healed faster, and even pointed out to her places where she could get equipment necessary for it or facilities that were available, she really seriously set up and took note of it, because every bit of information that I gave her was all verifiable, and it was you know, explained to her in a way that it all made sense, even with the type of education that she had to get where she's at. So I did some research. I helped that doctor to at least take a look at that alternative medicine. You see what I mean?
Definitely. I was looking for those.
Go ahead.
Those doctors that you were speaking on, the naturopathic doctors that are having untimely demises and, you know, dying way too soon, basically, is like, I looked into that a little bit for research, and I found that there's like a common link between several of them studying this protein and using this protein called GCMAF. Are you all familiar with the protein GCMAF?
Yep.
I think that that's on the forefront of, you're saying, sharing new technologies. I mean, this is something as simple as, you know, taking whole milk, you know, getting some real milk, unpasteurized, you know, raw milk, and making your own yogurt and adding like vitamin K and vitamin D, and if you can get your hands on some colostrum, putting it in there and then allowing the bacteria to produce the high level of the GCMAF in a yogurt that you can make at your house.
Yep.
And start to, you know, increase your levels of this protein that seem, from what I've researched, to kind of be the reverse all to a lot of problems.
It was that, I think it's pronounced Nogalase, that was actually causing cancer that the GCMAF was up against?
Oh yeah, the Nogalase is causing the problems with the autism, they're saying. They're linking it to that. The Nogalase is causing problems with dental and oral decay people are having. So when they reverse the Nogalase problem with the GCMAF, like, people are, their teeth are healing again. Their bones are getting better, you know,
What you're saying is that these doctors who died mysteriously are linked to exposing or disclosure of certain things.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Specifically, in common with at least six of them was the GCMAF protein.
Okay. Yeah. It says so here. It's GCMAF. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
For those folks that are familiar with what we're talking about, Nogalase is an extracellular matrix degrading enzyme that is secreted by cancerous cells in the process of tumor invasion. It's also an intrinsic component of the... I'm going to have to click on the link to read the rest of it, but I'll throw this article into the chat room so that anybody who's interested in taking a peek at it can do it.
Well, here's some good news, if you want to hear some good news.
Yeah, we love good news.
I mean, good news is important, right? France, first country to ban bee-killing neonicotinoids in Europe.
See, we can't even pronounce half of the things that they put out there.
it's the first country to ban bee-killing neonicotinoids. Yes, yay for France. The National Assembly voted to totally ban the bee-killing pesticide.
Well, you don't have to use pesticides to kill bees. If you got some a herd of killer bees, get you some dish soap and water. That'll do the job for you. And so you ain't polluting the environment, depending on what chemistry is in the particular soap you're using. Anyway, it's all ridiculousness. Every bit of what we've been talking about today, all the way back to the Mad Science Show yesterday, there are solutions available for every single problem under the sun. And 99.9% of all these, I would just say to heck with a whole 100%. Of all the solutions available, nature has already taught you how to use. But when the mainstream medical industry, the mainstream food industry, the mainstream energy industries refuse to allow this type of research because they say it's not backed by science, which you got a mad science guy right here saying, yeah, it's backed by science, you're just not listening to it because it doesn't put money in your wallet. That's why I get frustrated. That's why I do these shows, because the world that I got to leave my kids, if I had to leave the world right now, and I left the world in the shape that it is without at least running my mouth about it and trying to point out the common sense and the solutions that are available, then I ain't done my job as a grandpa or dad or, you know, even a brother or sister of my earthly family or whatever. So that's why I'm yelling to what I'm doing. That's why I try to bring everybody, these wonderful people that are on this council right now, Ted and Barry and Barbara, and even the people in the chat room throwing up these things, these good comments out there. May said that it cost $15,000 for one of those doggone pills. You know, that's a lot of money. You know, one of the treatments or whatever. I don't know if it's just one pill or one series of shots. But $15,000 for the average Joe who it takes two people in a family to earn a living? You know, how are they going to come up with that kind of money? They have to rely on the government for that kind of money. They have to go through, you know, insurance companies for that kind of money. They gotta be able to basically give something to the government in order for hopefully to survive. You know, Medicaid, Medicare, all this craziness, all the dang red tape in the insurance companies, and they only pay so much. They'll tell you that. After a certain point, even if you're not cured, you ain't pay. It's coming out of your pocket now. You're gonna have to sell the farm in order to heal yourself if you want to live. So everything you work for your entire life is at risk the moment that insurance company walks away. And go to a hospital and tell them you ain't got insurance. Watch the doctor's treatment of you the way that they want to rush you in and rush you out so that they can get their $200 an hour just by telling you something that you already knew. Sure, yeah, my back hurts. Thanks for telling me that. Here's your $200. You see what
you're
I mean?
Lucky if you even get kind of, you don't get treatment. A lot of people are turned away because they don't have insurance.
Yeah.
It never used to be that way, you know, actually.
I don't have insurance, and when you go in and tell somebody you don't have insurance, they start looking at you real weird.
That's right.
Yeah. Because
that's exactly right.
Wasn't Obamacare supposed to fix all that? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yuck, your doctor, so, you can keep your doctor. I can't stand my doctor. He's a crook. He's making $200 an hour to tell me my back hurts, which I told him when I came in. And I said, I'm going to go to the chiropractor because you don't know what the heck you're talking about. And he writes in his deal that he recommends I go to the chiropractor.
Do you know years ago, chiropractic was not acceptable. It was known as a quack.
Yeah.
A quacker.
Yeah, they mock and ridicule.
And the same thing with acupuncture. I mean, slowly, slowly, these things are becoming more acceptable in your general, you know, system, because people are more and more using these alternatives, and they are having successes with them.
The chiropractor done more for me in 1 hour than the entire system did for me in the 2 or 3 months that it took me to even get to see a doctor. I got in a wreck, and I didn't have treatment for 2 months.
We have a VA hospital here where I live, and people have always been kind of questioning VA hospitals and the care they give the veterans, but the VA hospital we got around here, it's nothing fancy. I live in a rural area, but they're offering chiropractic.
Well, sure, but here's the thing. Whenever I got in that wreck,
nutritionists, I'm surprised they give the veterans. And they're doing it. These old Vietnam vets are doing the acupuncture. These younger dudes, they're doing it. My folks up there, and they're grateful for it.
The moment.
So I have a question from the chat here from Lisa Allcaps. Asks, how do we restore honor, dignity, and respect? Does anybody have any ideas?
That's a real good question, but let me finish one thing real quick. The moment I mentioned to my primary care doctor of the VA that it was an auto accident, she said that they were not going to treat me for anything accident related because somebody else was financially liable for. So it took me 2 months. I had to go back to the actual doctor that I actually went to on an emergency deal whenever I got in the wreck because I thought my neck was broke. And then when I got there, the doctor that they gave me was a pain doctor, and that was it. And he's the one that basically told me the same thing I told him when I came in. I got a neck problem, I got a back problem, and I'm going to go to the chiropractor because he didn't have anything to offer me. He was looking at me because I didn't have insurance as if I was there to get drugs. That's the way that this man looked at me. Like, well, what do you want me to do? I said, well, you know, try to help me figure this out. You're a doctor, right? And that's the ridiculousness. As far as bringing honor to those people, I have no idea how to do that. Because this man, he made $200 to tell me my back was hurt. That's it. I already knew that.
Well, I mean, pain doctors are very interesting. It's a very interesting situation with pain doctors, number one, because a lot of people are on pain medication, and they've made it harder and harder for regular doctors to give the medication. So now they have specific, like, pain doctors, and they have to be responsible for all these prescriptions for pain, and they're like, I've talked to some of them. They don't know what's going on. Yeah. They're so swamped because your average doctor can no longer fill the pain scripts or doesn't want to fill the pain scripts for these people. They're sending them to him, and he's like obligated because he works at a hospital to see all these people, and it's like a real problem because they don't, to be real with you, I mean, they might not be doing their homework on their own time, but the hospital isn't giving them enough time, or they're not sending people around to the hospital being like, well, here's this TENS unit, and you know, it's a different kind of TENS unit. It uses like, you know, a high frequency, like microvoltage pulse, and you put it on, you know, different meridian lines on your back, and you know, you wear this thing around, and it reduces surgical pain, post-surgical pain, like according to the FDA, like legitimately.
Yeah.
And like, that's the kind of thing that is like a great alternative to eating, like, you know, basically narcotics. And it's like, you know, why aren't these people pumping this around? Like, why do you have to go to a different clinic and find an alternative doctor to tell you about, you know, alternative therapies for pain instead of eating narcotics?
Well, that's,
and it's like, right. You know, it's kind of a shame, but I mean, what it really boils down to, if one of us was a distributor of these products and went around to hospitals and you know, glad-handed everybody and pumped these, we could probably become millionaires and change the whole world at the same time.
Oh, sure.
I believe nobody is really, it's kind of our faults just as much as anybody else's. Like, anybody that wants to push and push can make, like, changes in society. And, like, there's already people selling a lot of devices that are great alternatives for pain. Everything out there, every sector of doctoring, dentistry, anything, has great technological advancements. They're just not being shared correctly.
Well, here's the thing, Ted. You know, I agree with what you're saying, but the doctor, see, when they told me via the CRT scan that they did that my neck was not broken, okay, that was fine. At least that's good news, all right? But the symptoms didn't stop. And so in the process of me going back to the doctor and trying to tell him, look, I still got some problems, we need to find out what it is, they bypassed me, sending me to a regular doctor, instead sent me to a pain doctor. And the lack of communication was that, you know, I'm trying to tell him, look, I got these symptoms right here. I'm expecting him, because he's a doctor, that he'll know what to do about it. But all he was doing was basically trying to diagnose me for what type of pain medicine I want. So before I actually took the step to go to a chiropractor, I needed to know what was wrong with my back so that I wouldn't be, you know, having somebody popping around on my spine or whatever, so that if there was a hairline fracture that didn't show up, that it wouldn't aggravate it and make it worse. But the system basically bypassed sending me to a doctor who was going to run a second scan to ensure that, you know, I wasn't in that type of condition that they could diagnose it properly. So that entire trip to the doctor there was a complete and utter waste. Luckily, the chiropractor Bellray Center that I went to, they had the equipment to actually do x-rays and find out, you know, what was the problem. And they tracked the problem down and began immediately treating the problem. And I got better for it, you know. Am I completely healed? No, I'm still going to probably have some problems the rest of my life. But nonetheless, in a fraction of the time, minus the VA rejecting me because it was an automobile accident, which means that somebody else's insurance was going to have to be liable, and minus the shenanigans at the actual hospital that I was originally treated for, I didn't get no help for over 2 months. And if that's just my particular scenario, imagine how many other people out there are, you know, like they got a study out there of how many veterans actually died waiting for help. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I got a buddy who's a veteran that has a grapefruit-sized lump in the back of his back because he has a surgery, he has a spinal fusion, and he's gone to the doctor like 4 times, the different doctors, and none of them will like scan. They don't want to touch it. They don't want anything to do with it, and they keep sending him to pain doctors. And, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. He has, like, very low insurance. He does have insurance, but it's, like, you know, pretty low level. And it's real interesting because that is something that's real. Like, back problems and just the treatment with sending everybody to the pain doctor, because like the only other alternative they really got is they'll just scan you enough times to say, okay, there's something we can do surgery on. That's as far as I understand. Like, they're not going to pop your back at the hospital, that's for sure, and like try to realign things. And really what they do to realign things is they go in there and fuse it together with like titanium rods and things like that.
Well, like Barbara just mentioned earlier, that the chiropractors were basically regarded as quackery doctors, and the mainstream doctors wouldn't even hear anything that any of them had to say or anything. But when I went to Bellray, they turned around and they x-rayed and they explained to me in graphic detail and had everything that they needed to basically show me, look, your neck is going this way, which makes your head, instead of feeling like it's normal weight, feel like 40 pounds. That's why you got pain in your neck. Your back is crooked sideways like this, and the bottom of your hip is off this way. And by the time it was all said and done, they started straightening me out with their procedures and giving me exercise therapeutical exercises to help straighten my back out. And so I can actually get up and move around without all the symptoms that I had before. But it because of what was supposedly a quackery deal turned out to be a beneficial deal, that's one example of why in the heck they should be looking into alternative methods such as everything we've explained here today, especially the hyperbaric oxygen treatment, because that is scientific proven reason why diseases happen. 90% of all the diseases out there occur because of oxygen deficiency. You got low blood circulation, so you're not getting oxygen to the wound, and you got to figure out a way to do that. You can either do it externally, localized to the wound, or you can do it internally by getting inside, internally and externally, by getting inside one of them hyperbaric treatment chambers, which pressurizes down to like 5 PSI of pressure inside there, pumps in high concentrates of oxygen, compresses that oxygen down, and it gets it into your bloodstream. It gets it down into the actual liquid of your blood, which is the plasma, which gets it down into places where your veins and everything else might not be able to get to because of poor circulation. So now you've got oxygen in your soft tissues that are causing the cell growth to be able to heal that wound. Plus you're stimulating stem cells that are getting down there repairing things, even in the bone, even in the brain. They have basically the little pustules that build up from the viruses that are creating this doggone tumor in your head. They've been able to destroy that doggone tumor using that particular procedure. But you go around to a mainstream hospital, and the majority of all the doctors aren't even aware of this type of treatment. They're not even aware of the results. They haven't been able to, or just weren't aware of it to the extent where they never researched it for themselves. It's not part of their doggone doctor, or their hospital procedures or whatever. It's not a recommended treatment or whatever. Food and Drug Administration, all the red tape, all the shenanigans. But put all them shenanigans aside, and they say that the scientists, and it's not scientifically verified, that's a lie. That's a flat-out lie, because within an hour of me researching all these different possibilities and coming across this, I found paper after paper, I found testimonial after testimonial, and I found the results that I was looking for, that there is another option outside of cutting somebody's leg off, amputating their leg, or them just flat out going home to die. And that made me so mad, because even the patient refused to go to one of these treatment centers because the doctor didn't say it was all right. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's aggravating. The doctor, the man in the white coat, didn't say it was good, so I gotta listen to my indoctrination and I gotta go home and die. No, you don't have to go home and die. You still have options, even at this point in the game. Even if it was only a Hail Mary shot, wouldn't you at least want to try that if you wanted to hang on to life a little longer? You know, all these alternative methods and medicines, the book that I talked about, Dr. Lorraine Day wrote about diseases don't just happen. She breaks it down in there. And that's not even the only one. There's other ones. There's the one-minute cure out there that talks about hydrogen peroxide, food grade hydrogen peroxide therapies. There's so many different examples. Hemp seed, hemp oil, all these different types of possibilities. Those should be options that are on the table that are ready for the patient to determine whether or not, okay, do I want to go straight to chemotherapy and or surgery, or do I want to at least take this in stages and try these alternative methods to see if I can get my body back to nature doing what it did before and cure myself.
Well, maybe there's room in the marketplace for somebody that knows a lot about nutrition and studies all the therapy.
There is.
Is that, like, it's common sense that somebody would go visit them and be like, well, you know, I've got a problem in my back. You know, well, then they would know to recommend maybe a good chiropractor to you. They would know things that you could eat that would affect that. They would know other alternative therapies like TENS units and things you could use. Yeah. And in that way, it would, like, it would open up a whole new sector. People could make money off doing that. Like, if they could charge like $20 to just sit and talk to you for a half hour or whatever, for whatever you would charge in your local area, I don't know. But it's like, you know, I could see that being, you know, an alternative to like saying, hey, doctors, why don't you all stop what you're doing and learn all these things that are really important? And no, like, there's people that are already learning those things. Like, let's get people to visit and talk with them before they go to a doctor. Like, it'd be... like, well, I trust going to this nutritionist lady I know for her to tell me, you know, yeah, maybe you should go see a doctor. You need to go to this doctor. He's, like, really good at, like, you know, whatever he does. He's really good for, you know, stomach medicine or something. I don't know. You know, it's like that's what it boils down to in my mind is, like, got a buddy that had also bleeding ulcers in his stomach. He started drinking sauerkraut juice, cabbage juice, eating oat bran and yogurt. Next time I went in the doctor, it was damn near healed up. The doctor didn't have to do that much.
Well,
he went
go.
And talked to his pharmacist. His pharmacist is like, why are you getting a prescription for this? He wouldn't tell me your name. It's all in the hush-hush. He's like, why? She's like, why? It's a friend of his. Why are you taking this medication? He's like, well, I've got a bleeding stomach ulcer. She's like, this medication is not going to, it's going to make that worse, she said. You know, she's just being straight up with him. She's like, it has side effects, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so she told him about the sauerkraut stuff. I told him about the oat bran. By the time he went back in there, I mean, you know, honest to God, the doctor didn't have too much work to do. Took a look at it, said it's healing up. He should be fine. Change up his diet. You know, he's obviously stressed or something.
Well, folks,
he'll get on his way.
We're probably going to have to wrap this up in a little bit, but we can probably go over a little bit. But Barbara said she had to leave, so I want to give her, because usually we go around the table, but I want to give her a chance to put some last words in there before she has to take off, and then we'll do that later if that's all right with everybody else. Barbara,
absolutely.
You got any words of wisdom before you have to run up out of there?
No, I don't have anything.
That's a surprise.
Bye.
I'm just joking on you guys. Good discussion today, really. I think we again hit a lot of good stuff, a lot of important information, and yeah, again, I just want to emphasize, it's like, you know, all this stuff we're talking about, and at all of our shows, on all of our shows, it's a big challenge. I guess you want to say, don't shoot the messengers, is all I say.
Yep.
It's not an easy job, but I'm concerned about our health and our well-being on all levels, not just the physical and emotional, but spiritual. You know, I mean, because as I said earlier, we are body, mind, and spirit, you know. You know, when your spirit is crushed early on, you have a lot of issues coming your way as you grow up. And the deliberate crushing of our spirit, I think, is part of the agenda. It really separates us from our inner wisdom and our fundamental nature of who we really truly are as sentient, sacred people, sacred children. And I mean everybody. And so a lot of people get lost and sidetracked and lose that gift of free will, critical thinking, your intuition, your internal discernment tool. So those things sort of go out the window. So we're just bombarding you here today, as we do on every show, with a lot of information. Some of it it's pretty huge to accept the levels of what we're dealing with. you can find out for yourself what we're talking about, that we're just not sitting here making things up. And I think we're sharing it because we're really concerned and we're quite appalled. Really,
yeah,
quite appalled at what we're dealing with and what you guys are dealing with out there, what everyone is dealing with. And so that's what we're doing here. And again, I always say, I'm going to say it again, I probably will continue to say it, is get right with your creator. Get your spiritual garden growing, your spiritual foundation strong. Take responsibility, stand up and step away from the system where you are completely dependent and relying upon others' authorities. You have your own inner authority, and one beneath you on the mother and the creator, great spirit. I'm not saying don't ever go to a doctor. Listen, I use alternatives. I've been using alternatives for a long time. And learn to listen to the body, and I think we need to. The body will tell us things are getting out of balance long before an actual dis-ease begins to take us over. So I go to a doctor when I need to find out what is going on. If I need to get a blood test or something because I'm curious, well, do I have Lyme disease because I've got phthisis tick? Some of the symptoms I can identify. I have remedies that I start off right away with. But if I need to go to a doctor, I will go. And I just say, yeah, okay, thank you very much for that information. And then I go work alternatively with it as best I can. I guess, in other words, I'm very adverse to drugs. I'm 74 years old. I have not ever taken any prescription drugs for long periods of time. I don't rely on them. They filled me with blood pressure meds 3 years ago because I had a huge episode with that. I weaned myself off of them, take alternatives, which I believe in. Cat's Claw, by the way. Look up Cat's Claw. Look up, yeah, natural Cat's Claw for blood pressure. So I use my own instincts and awareness and connectedness to the earth and nature. And that's just the way I choose to live. And I just want to say that I feel very positive about all that's going on. Even though we talk about the nightmarish stuff, we're not helpless people. We are not.
Nope.
We're not powerless at all. So we have to step into that circle, I guess that circle of light, and begin to take responsibility. I feel as a person who is not just a physical person, but we have a spirit, we have a mind and our physical self, and all of those things need to be in balance. And there are alternative ways, many ways and solutions on how to balance and harmonize those aspects of ourself. So just want to
check.
Well, that's but see, you know, it's where I was raised. Your mic's working. Give me a second. I love everything you said, Barbara. You know, where I was raised, it's not polite to talk about a lady's age, but the fact that you're 74 years old ought to be a testimonial to a good, healthy, natural living. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know who started me on this? I got married when I was 20. My in-laws, now this is 1961. 62. My in-laws were known as health food nuts.
Well,
two Italian, little old Italian people there. They were on it. They were into this, all this alternative health food stuff and health information. And they were, of course, then early times known as quacks and health food nuts. That's what we called them, health food nuts. But they started talking to me about stuff, and it just seemed it just seemed instinctively to me right.
Yep.
And I just started from that early age on looking at the ingredients. If I couldn't pronounce the ingredients in some food there in the grocery store, we didn't have organic food then, I didn't buy it. You know, I made my own applesauce from wild apples for my children, you know.
Great.
Apple juice, I mean, I did them as much as I could. And I started then taking supplements. Way back then, I started taking supplements. And I have been taking supplements ever since because you know what? They informed me in all the readings they gave me, the information they gave me, that the food, and the earth itself was being depleted of natural elements that we needed in order to be healthy. So if you think you're eating healthy from the grocery store, you know, it's sad to say that you are not, because the earth is depleted, plus it's polluted and has pesticides filled, the food is. So I knew of these things very early on, so I'm just saying, you know.
Well, it's a good thing, and I'm glad for those health food nuts, because I kind of really like you, Barbara. I want you to stay around longer.
Well, I appreciate being here every time with you, and you guys all pop in, and it's really great to share the information. Good to know that I'm not alone out here as a wackadoodle by myself. There's others out there. We are not alone. Well, oh, by the way,
like we said, we're
I'm just
going to
throw this at you. This is another show. Q was question and answer period time. Q said to a response, "Are we alone?" And Anonymous, "Are we alone?" And then he just quoted like Roswell with a question mark. And Q said, "We are not alone." like I didn't know that, but I mean, okay, I'm just saying. Where are we headed, folks? Okay,
know.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Take care. So we got somebody else here on the guest view. Want to say hi to everybody?
Hello there. It's Nick.
How you doing, Nick? It's good to see you again.
Thank you. I'm in UK. I just wanted to say something really quick. I'd like to answer actually what Barbara just said about the UFOs. Q also said highest security clearance regarding Roswell. And if you go back to 1954, the UFO Roswell base was had higher military clearance than the atomic bomb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know to this present day you don't want to get close to it.
Well, not really.
Nick joined late here, but I've had many conversations, and next week I'd like Nick to get in. And we talked earlier in the show about the destruction of our planet and how we can hold these corporations accountable, and that's why I wanted Nick to get in. But Nick, we're at the end of the show, but next week, can you join us?
Yes. Okay. Can I just quickly say about cancer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Medicine in general. I heard someone mention Chinese medicine. In Chinese traditional medicine, you only pay the doctor when you're well.
Cool. That's the way it should be.
That would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that solve the whole issue? It would solve all the pharmaceutical problems, the food additive problems, the GMOs, because the doctors would be up in arms.
Because
everybody's sick.
Well, when you think about it, you know, we in society as a general, we don't get paid till we're finished the job.
I was about to mention that earlier, and I forgot to say it, that, you know, in any other industry, if you don't get what you paid for, you can get a refund, except for the medical industry. If you don't get what you paid for, well, they already gave you the medicine, you already used it, can't get it back, so, you know, you're just stuck with it. Whatever kind of treatment you get at the doctor, that money's just gone, period.
I can think of a couple of other professions where that's true. Namely, politicians and banking.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There are other ones. So watch out for those. If you can't get a refund on it, maybe not want to buy it or something like that.
Well, that's rough.
Anyway, we got to kind of start wrapping this up, but this has been amazing, a brilliant, passionate show. You know, I mean, look, folks, I've been saying this forever and a day, and I don't know what it's going to take to get this thought to everybody's mind out there, is that none of this is ever going to change until the average Joe finally gets fed up and says, look, we're sick of this stuff, you know? The whole entire system needs to be either replaced or repaired, because it's all based on finance, it's based on scientific lies, it's based on ridiculousness. When you got somebody who's sitting there shouting at the top of his lungs that there's a potential treatment that could save this guy's leg, you don't have to cut his leg off, you can repair that leg using modern science technology, and yet the doctor ain't even humoring it. Well, that's a problem. The doctor supposedly signed a Hippocratic oath to do no harm and to do the best for his patient as possible. And if there is any possible potential solution, outside of surgery or chemotherapy for cancer or whatever, if you're not looking at every single option available, even those that you call quackery, you know, the alternative medicines that have been, you know, testimonials after testimonials that these are potential, cures for this particular deal. If you're not looking at everything, if you're not giving your patient every single possible option available and allowing them to make a informed, conscious decision that they want to try this before they go to the extreme of chemotherapy, then you're not a doctor as far as I'm concerned. You sold your soul to the devil or whatever. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that in order for us to be able to fix this, the people, all the we the people of the world, have to stop asking permission from the government, stop asking permission from the banking industries and the doggone fuel industries and medical, every industry out there. We're going to have to stop asking for permission. Stop asking the Food and Drug Administration. Stop asking them all for permission. If you see the research and you believe that research is possible and you want to take upon yourself to try to heal yourself, then by God, you should be able to have the right to do so, because it's your body and it's your life, and it's about time that people start realizing that. You belong to you. You don't belong to any other man out there. You don't belong to the system. You belong to you. And that's the simple of it. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. Nick, you got in here last, so maybe I'll let you go first. How's that sound?
I don't mind. I don't mind going first or last. We're in the middle. I don't mind. I'll go first as you ask me. Thank you. Regarding the people asserting their lawful right to a healthy life, which exists in law, it doesn't exist in legislation, it exists in law, people need to know the law. And the law has been made so complicated, people can't understand it. So we need to simplify the law. That's what I've spent my life doing. And I think that's why Barry asked me in here, is to maybe spend a bit of time explaining that, and I'll be happy to do that next week. But in the meantime, if anyone would like to look on Google and search for just one word, reclaim the law, I've got a WordPress site there, reclaimthelaw.wordpress.com, and I've also got a YouTube channel called Reclaim the Law.
Well, throw a link and we'll pass it on.
Please do, and have a look maybe next time, and then we can have it won't be just me talking, you know, maybe other people have different views about what I'm saying. So it'll just be a bit more interesting, perhaps, if other people have a look at that before next week, perhaps. I don't know. I don't want to tell anybody what to do. But basically, the basic premise of my argument is that the government are servants, and they are paid to enact the law. An act of parliament or an act of legislation should be an enactment of the law. And they're not enacting the law. They are making unlawful legislation, allowing multinational companies to damage and destroy the planet to the extent that the threat of environmental damage is now as serious as the threat of world war.
Yep.
And we should treat it as such, in my opinion. We should declare a state of emergency as if it was a world war. The last time we had a world war was 1939, the Second World War. In England here, we had a state of emergency. Every man, woman and child was making guns and bombs and aeroplanes to fight the Germans. Well, the threat of environmental damage is not a threat of Germans coming across the border, so we're not going to be making guns. We're going to be planting trees and making organic food. And I think that's what we should be doing. Going forward in a different direction. We've got amazing technology. We could use it for the health of humanity as it was intended by the inventors. And we're not. And the reason we're not doing it is because of money. And the money has been created out of fraud by the Rothschilds, and it doesn't even exist. It is fraudulently created virtual money. And for the sake of millivolts of electricity in a computer, everybody's got running around like headless chickens, competing with each other in their efforts to make a profit out of destroying the planet we all live on. It's absurd, quite frankly.
I agree. I couldn't disagree with anything you just said. And I like the way you think. And so
I'm big on informing the police about this, because the police live on the same planet and so do their kids.
Yes, they do.
And if we get the police on our side against the legislators and against the government, which they already are, actually, if we took the trouble to talk to them in these terms, which I've been doing 38 years, I know the police are... what people don't realise on our side of the fence, if you like, is how absolutely fuming angry the police are with the government. Yeah. And it's not just in the UK, it's in America as well. They hate the government just as much as anyone else, but they're not allowed to say anything.
Well, that's the whole thing. Just like the, what we mentioned about the doctors. The doctors, are they're hearing from people like myself and y'all about different possibilities that we're begging them to look into. And they're refusing to look into them because they're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're going to lose their status. They're going to lose their money. But
they're going to lose their house and their family thrown out on the street.
Yeah.
That's the point.
I mean,
that's
come
what
on,
everybody's
people,
under that fear.
Do some research and look up holistic doctors, and you'll find some shocking things. These doctors were saying that they had cures for certain things. And so
I know they were being killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's
yeah.
not a conspiracy theory. That's conspiracy fact.
Facts, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know...
And look at all the bankers jumping out of windows committing suicide as well.
Well, yeah. Look, I want to keep this show going, but, you know, we got time constraints. I got other things that have to be done and such, but doggone it... You know, if you listen to the Knights of the Round Table ever, if you've ever listened to the Knights of the Round Table and you heard these things that we're talking about and you got any kind of opposing view and you want to sit there, come on here and talk about it, you're welcome to the table too, because we're not just trying to talk out the side of our neck, and we're pointing links. We're putting links, pertinent information, links, research that is available to you. So, don't get discouraged if the doctor tells you you got a disease and this is what you got to go through in order to cure it. Before you go to the extreme of chemotherapy or all these other amputations or whatever that we've mentioned here on the show today, at least humor us long enough to help yourself by looking into this. At least hear the words coming from somebody else's mouth about how I was diagnosed with this and they said I only had 6 months to live. Here's 5-6 years later or longer, I'm still here because of this particular alternative medicine. There are options available. There are solutions available. That's what we're trying to point out here. And we catch so much grief because of what we do, you wouldn't believe it. But nonetheless, moving right along. Ted, you got any words of wisdom? I think Ted went to sleep.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious, Liz. I'm just thinking in my head that, you know, it really comes back to agriculture to me and food being the medicine. And it's like, you know, if we could really change the way we eat, like Barbara was saying, that the earth has become depleted in a way because of the agricultural way. You got to, like, kind of get back with some type of remineralizing the earth. And when we remineralize our bodies, everything comes into line. It's like minerals are really nothing more than the elements. They're like atoms. You got like selenium, magnesium, copper. The list goes on. Calcium, all these different minerals, all these different atoms and elements that compose our body. It's like really, there's a lot of science to be uncovered about it. I think there's, you know, a lot of potential, but at the end of the day, just remineralizing our bodies by, you know, doing what we can to, you know, have some soil wherever we live. Any way you can do it. You can create some natural soil and get, you know, natural inputs coming into it. You can create mineral soil and grow food and eat it. And it does have minerals at that point. You know, until then, I kind of do the same thing Barbara does. Every once in a while, she eats supplements. I take supplements sometimes, especially when it's like, that's just the way health works, I feel like, is you got to take care of yourself, and that gives you a mental state, too. It's like, it's important to exercise a little bit, because it always feels good after you're done doing it.
Yep.
It's, like, important to work and to create things and to, like, have, you know, creativity, even if it's just art, because when you're done, it feels good. And, like, anything you can do to relieve stress in your life and then to just feel free is, like, what I think is health. You know, it goes in line with what you all are saying about, you know, becoming, you know, ownership of yourself and spiritually speaking, like Barbara says, like, you know, to become a part of this thing and to work on these kind of things increases. I think that's why we're here. I mean, I like to think of it, did we choose to come here? I mean, do you think you chose to come to Earth?
Like, I don't know.
That's what I kind of think.
Did you get chosen for this particular time in history?
No. But I don't know, but yes. I agree with what you're saying. You know, live life, love, and laughter will go a long way, and that's all free. What you're saying there about how the world is depleted of minerals, nature is by far the best teacher that you will ever come across. Nature has taught us things. We know enough through our studies and research in science, real science, not the mainstream science, the Scientology vision of the elite's future that they want for you. But I'm talking about real science, where you're actually getting out there, you're testing and retesting and all this kind of stuff. You're observing and learning. That's real science, and that's what we talk about on the Mad Science Show. But, you know, if you pay attention to what nature has, we can assist nature in rejuvenating itself. We have the knowledge on how and why things work, and so we have solutions available in order to resolve things like the algae blooms that's tearing up Florida right now, not to mention the fact that British Petroleum, against everybody screaming that don't do it, kept pumping chemical corrosive down into the ocean, expecting to hide the oil, but what's that doing to the fish? So we could go on example after example. This show could last 20 years if we just put every bit of information on the table. We ain't got that much time. All I'm saying to everybody out there listening is that you are the answer. If you want to find the miracle that you've been waiting for, go look in the mirror. You're the answer. And until you realize that, and that it's your life, it's your body, it's your health, you own you. Nobody else owns you. You're your own property, period. And if you want to take care of your property, you got to do it yourself, because the doctors ain't going to do it, because they're under the gun of the hospitals that they work for. Just like Ted mentioned about, if they don't have the insurance or they can't afford the insurance, they have to go to work to the hospital. And if they don't have that doggone malpractice insurance and anything goes wrong, their life is just destroyed. So with that said, Barry, you got any last words of wisdom before we bail out of here?
How much time do I got?
Well,
no, I'm just kidding. Listen, you know, I'm glad that Nick could join us for the last little bit of show, the show here today. I've listened to Nick talk for years, and, you know, we need brilliant people in here talking different ideas and different tools and different mechanisms we can use to fight against this thing that's crushing us to death. So thanks for coming in, Nick, and I look forward to some of your input next week. It's been a great show. I get inspired when I tune into these shows because of the different ideas and thoughts that are spread here. But we're all here for the same reason. We're all here because we see what's going on, and we are so concerned for the future of our fellow human beings that we're compelled to speak. And this has been a great show, and always love listening to Barb and you and your thoughts. And thanks for having me in, and I'll try and make you here again next week.
Great. Well, we're always going to tell it like it is. You know us, Barry. We can't keep our mouths shut, and so we're going to probably create a ruckus, maybe get ourselves in trouble, because any doctor that hears this might not like the fact that I said your doctor wants to kill you slowly, you know, because it's profitable, you know. And if they don't like that, then they need to come on here and justify why it is that doctors don't know about hyperbaric oxygen treatments or any of these other alternative methods, and they always continue to use it to justify, to say, well, it hasn't been scientifically proven or whatever. That's a bunch of hooey right there, because it has been scientifically verified. It's just not allowed due to the FDA because of all the lobbyists that want to work for their companies to ensure that the industry, the drug industry, can continue to sell you drugs. $15,000 for one treatment? Are you kidding me? How's anybody, average Joe, going to be able to afford that? And if it wasn't for Medicaid or Medicare or the government programs that would pay for some of that, only to extent, they won't go past a certain price range per person. And so if you go past that price range, now you're cutting into your own wallet, which means you have to mortgage up your house in order to sell your property. And so once you do, if you do get somehow or another cured by the system, you're homeless, which poses another problem that we've talked about. Look, we got to get past the stupidity. We got to get past ignorance. We got to get past the ridiculousness that the system has gotten us into. Their track record stinks. The only way to fix it is to take advantage of this time right now here at this crossroads, where we have access to the World Wide Web, where we have access to all types of research, both good and bad, where we can now discern for ourselves and disseminate this information, find the best cures, the best path to move forward to healing our brothers and sisters around the world and making our world a better place. We can do it in every single subject under the sun. Alternative energy, they said they needed clean, renewable alternative energy. We've got that. They said they needed better medicines. We've got that. They said they needed better of everything. They said there was problems out there that needed resolved. We got that. And it's only going to get implemented when the average Joe takes these solutions and uses them and actually puts them into action, where you show your neighbor, show by example, it works. So when we have that information, we put it out there on the table. So you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If there's anything at all whatsoever that inspired you in this show, share it with somebody, repodcast it. If you only like just a little section, take and download it, cut it, paste it, whatever. Take whatever you want off of this website, anything you want. It's all free. It's information put out here freely by people who really care about you. Ask your friends to show up. Ask the skeptics to show up. Ask the environmentalists. I would really love to get a hold of the environmentalists. I'm telling you. Because while they're out there protesting, they could be out planting trees. Just like Nick said earlier. All right? And so I want the environmentalists to come to the table and explain themselves. I want the mainstream science community to come to the table and explain themselves. I want the doctors to come to the table and explain themselves. And if there's any holistic doctors out there, alternative medicine doctors, we want to hear from them as well. Because there are solutions available. And until the mainstream gets past the point of greed and ignorance and stupidity or just downright rottenness, we're not going to be able to fix this problem. And we're going to continue to have wars. We're going to continue to watch people die needlessly. Continue to see our veterans butchered and our people out there without their arms and their legs because somebody didn't want to listen to something as simple as oxygen therapy. When they say that 90% of all the diseases out there are due to oxygen deficiencies, and you have a method by which to get oxygen to that wound, and you don't take it, instead you use antibiotics, and after a while the antibiotics are not working anymore, and so the person is basically sent home to die. What kind of stupidity is that? Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If I made you mad but woke you up, I guess it was worth my time. If I inspired you, share the message. And I'm throwing down the gauntlet. You send one of your best scientists out here. Send 100 of your best scientists out here. Let them go up against this old crazy-haired Shaziz that thinks he knows it all, loud-mouthed and standing on his soapbox. Let them come up here. Bring your Neil deGrasse Tysons and all your best. Bring the best of the best of what you got. And I'm talking to the government, the corporations, the system itself. Bring them on. You ain't got what it takes. That's why you're not here today. Peace and love, everybody. Stay happy. Live.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We use routines to call the scenes to put quite impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.